This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
And off and running. We are
all right, cool.
Here, so, Johnny Speakers?
Yeah. Isn't that funny? When I looked up that name, I was like, I can't believe that's actually available. You know, you would think somebody would have grabbed that, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's like honestly, it's like the coolest name. Coolest for what you are, what we do, and all of this. It's like, you're right. How did that not get taken? So, yeah. John Z, but at Johnny Speakers, the coolest name, and you own a white van.
I know, man. How that big story. I was driving to work, and you said that, and I was just dying, man. It was just so funny to me, you know.
Was I talking with Todd? Was it Todd?
I think so. The first time, maybe you talked to him.
We were talking about white speakers, white vans, and at colleges and stuff like that. And
yep.
And then when you tweeted me and said, like, I have a white minivan, right? You happen to have a white, Speakers has a white minivan driving around the town. Yeah. And you have bought, did you say you had bought speakers out of a van?
No, I never did. But you know what, my, I guess you would call him ex-brother-in-law. He, one day, so I was just kind of starting to get into this stuff. And he came over to our house and he had just bought some new speakers and he was so excited about them. You know, and I had heard the stories of these white van speakers. So he brings them out and I like immediately, I'm like, how much did you buy those for? You know, it was like $1,200 for like a 5-channel setup. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm pretty sure you got ripped off.
Yeah.
We opened them up, man. And it was just complete garbage. So I'm like, sorry, man.
Oh, they were in the boxes and everything.
Yeah. And it was like theater research or theater, I don't know, something. And it made it look like it was, so even the boxes look great, but it was garbage, man. So I'm like, oh, dang.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Oh, yeah.
I have had one experience with them.
I've had a few. I had in college, my buddies, they did it. They had, and like I said, I think it was Todd, I was saying, like, the first time I had an experience with a white van, I was in front of the house that I eventually would move into with my wife years and years later when we got married. And it was just, I just remember walking down the road and this van pulled up and they're like, hey, you guys interested in speakers? And I was like, no. My buddy's like, yeah. Okay. So he had cash on him. He had money. Actually, no, that was the one where they actually took us to the ATM because he could get money. And we got in the van and drove to the ATM so that he could get the money.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I went to college in my home in Franklin, and it was Dean Junior College at the time. And it was a fairly well-to-do crowd that went there. My mother worked there. It was in my hometown. So that's why I got to go. All the kids there had money. Matt Dillon's little brother went there with me.
Oh, my gosh.
Met him. Actually had Matt's ID so that he could get into bars. And he had Matt Dillon's ID and almost like, he looked just like him. But it's like, isn't that like kind of too famous? Like, what are you doing? What's Matt Dillon doing hanging out in Franklin, Massachusetts?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Wow.
I was like, but yeah, his little brother went there, so. But yeah, so this kid that I happened to be with at the time, he had a little bit of, his family had money. So he was like, yeah, I'll buy some speakers. So we went to the ATM and got some cash and yeah, they were fine for him. And another buddy of mine bought them a couple of years later. I was working at a Stop and Shop. It was my boss. He bought them and, he's like, oh, I just bought some speakers. And I was at work at the time. He's like, let's go to my house and we'll put them in. So I was punched in. I was working and he took me to his house so I could install his speakers for him. And he dropped me off. I punched out and went home.
Oh my God.
That was my work day. I was like, all right, I can do that.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, big fun, big fun. So you said that was around the time you first started into all of this. So when did you first start into home theater? All the speakers, by the way, because you just came from the, what event did you just come from?
I went to Expona, which is it's kind of a big two channel uppity convention, you know?
Okay.
But they used to have quite a few theater setups, like JTR used to have a huge setup, which is really cool. And then Seton Sound, have you ever heard of them before? Mark Seton, he's from Chicago. He specializes in home theater. He's got big subwoofers and stuff. They used when it first started, like 7-8 years ago, they would get like the ballrooms, and they would set up like huge, like 11-13 channel setups with like 18s, and it was so cool. But now it's just kind of, it's, you know, just two channels, BMW, and all these really expensive like boutique brands. But I just love it, you know. I like hearing cool stuff and seeing how expensive it can be, you know. But it was fun. And this year my wife actually went with me. She's like, I gotta see what this is all about. And she's really cool. She's very supportive of this hobby for me and everything. And she's actually kind of the free spirit money spender. So I have to like kind of be careful with her, because I'm kind of a cheap, but even though I like to buy the stuff,
and really,
she's like, oh yeah, get it. And I'm like, let's just, you know, calm down. Let me do a little research here before we, commit to something here. Cause it's really easy to get wrapped up, just like anything. You love something and you go to something that has nothing but that. And you're like, oh man, yeah, I really do want that $5,000 amp. And you're like, oh no, that seems kind of silly, but you know,
but that's the thing is you get in it, it. I don't know if I would consider that a rabbit hole, because that's where we all end up, right? Where you start with this stuff, and we all try to, you get to a point where, well, you never get to a point, I bet is a better way to put it. You never get to the point where you're satisfied, ever. Right?
Never, DJ. Like, never. I tell myself, like, I am completely good. And I swear to God, in a week, I'm like, man, I could stick another set of speakers in here somewhere or something, you know?
Yeah.
You just always do. It's crazy.
And then once you get that, it's like, I want to upgrade something. I need to upgrade. You know, you just get that itch. And it's like, which is really interesting. I was kind of looking forward to this. Much like when I talked to Reggie, you're such a hi-fi guy. Mm-hmm. I don't go through speakers like you guys. I've had my NHTs. I upgraded them to the more modern NHTC series for my front three. But literally, there are two channels in the back that I'm still using, the zeros, that I've had since the 90s.
And I thought that was so cool, because I think most people do upgrade like crazy, and you haven't. And I think that's so cool, you know? I just think that's so cool, yeah.
It's cool that I haven't done something.
I do, because I don't know. I think I just like trying equipment. You know, probably, like when we had that conversation a while ago of, do you listen to your movies because of your equipment, or do you, you know, or the opposite?
Right.
I'm definitely more of a, I watch movies to hear my equipment. I just like swapping out stuff and trying stuff. I just do. I think we bought this house in 18, and I think my LCRs changed like 5-6 times. I'll just go on Marketplace and I'll be like, man, those are cool. I've never heard of that brand, and just get it and sell the other ones. And you know, I love doing that. You know?
Yeah. It's like, I'm the exact opposite. I want to, like, I love my gear. I like doing what you're talking about. I like upgrading stuff and hearing the differences. But to me, it's so weird. It's like, because I've always liked a neutral speaker since. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what it was, kind of my foundation in learning about speakers, right? Mm-hmm. So that guy, that Dave, the Laserdisc guy, who taught me, basically really taught me about speakers and what to listen for and what you're looking for. For in a movie context, right? And so that's where my foundation came from, and I kind of just stuck with that. And to deviate from that almost feels wrong to me. Like, I've listened, I have a BMW center channel, and I was like, ooh, that didn't work. And I went back to the NHT because I'm like, I don't know. I just, it felt wrong to me because, you know, B&W has their, a little bit more of a distinct sound than
neutral,
right? But you would know that better than I would because I haven't experienced all these different speakers. I just know, like, I know NHTs are neutral, but I also know SVSs are neutral. So I know I would be okay with that. And it's like, I'd be fine with an entire B&W series, but the point would be like, just stay with it. And that's what I have, you know?
Yeah. You can run in trouble. One of the speaker sets, that I bought from Marketplace, and I wrote to Tom and Rob about this, was it was a M&K, I can't remember, some LCR like combo. And, I'd never heard of them, but I've heard of the name, you know? And I'm like, I just want to try these. It was a good deal. And, within like 10 minutes of watching a movie, and even after running Odyssey, I had like a piercing headache. Like I had never experienced something like that before. And I don't know if it was the tweeter or what, but I liked them. So I tried playing with them for a couple of weeks, and man, it just got worse and worse. I had to get rid of them. So ever since then I've gone, I tried Ascend, from Rob. I found some 340s, on Marketplace. I liked them a lot. And now I have a Revel all the way around, and they're super neutral, and I do love them. So I think I'm sticking neutral from here on out. Yeah. You know, so, no more headaches for me, man.
I'm wondering if, like, headaches, wonder if that can come from, like, maybe even frequencies that we can't even hear, like a higher end frequency that's just piercing, and it's just, you don't even know that that's it, you know, the speaker's just doing something wrong. And can you imagine? That would be awful, but.
It was. Yeah. It was, you know, something we loved to something like that. It's like, oh man, I can't do this. So,
yeah. So these Revels, tell me about,
tell me,
like, for somebody that's listened to so many different speakers.
Okay.
Have you ever heard NHTs?
Oh, have I heard any what? I'm sorry.
NHTs.
Nope. But, I would like to, but no, I have never heard NHTs before.
Okay. Nope. So tell me about the Revels then.
Well, the first time I heard them was at that Expona show a few years ago. And they're one of the brands that were like kind of within reach money wise, you know. They have some like Beryllium tweeter ones that are like $10,000 a pair. But these ones, it's called the Performa 3 series. It's not their lowest series. It's like the next one. And me and my wife, actually, there's a shop within like an hour of me. It's called Home Audio. Like the guy's last name's Holm, H-O-L-M. And she went with me, and they're really nice. And they let you listen to, you know, they have a bunch of rooms, but they'll bring what you want into this one room, and they'll just they'll give you the iPad and with Tidal or Amazon, whatever, and you just play whatever you want. So I really wanted to try these. We sat in there for like an hour. We tried all the songs that we like, and I like immediately fell in love with them, you know? So she's like, well, we should listen some more. So we listened to the Kef R3s. It was another, it's kind of like BMW where the highs are kind of like piercing to me. Mm. Immediately knew that the Kefs were not, and I'd never heard Kefs before until then. No good. So I'm like, you know what? I love these. So we'll go with that. The cool thing is, so, I told the guy, well, like, so how does this work? Cause they'd order them, you know? And he goes, well, the thing with this shop is we don't accept returns, but what we will do is we'll let you bring the speakers home. And I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. You know? So I could actually hear him in my room, with my acoustics and everything. And he goes, in a week, to come back. If you don't like them, we'll try something else. If you like them, then we'll place the order. So I brought him home and listened like crazy all week to him, and DJI just loved them, you know? Oh. So, I just got, my room is kind of smaller. It's kind of oddly shaped. So the front wall is only 10 feet wide and my back wall is 18 feet wide. It's 15 feet long. And then on the right side of the room, it kind of diagonals from the 10 to the 18. So it is kind of a smaller room, you know? So I went with Tom's advice of, I went with three bookshelves across. I have a acoustic transparent screen. So I put one of them behind that. And then I have the two on the side of the screen. And then I actually, for the rears, I actually went to the step down and same 6.5 inch and for the backs. So, I mean, to me, it all sounds pretty close to the same for movies. So, yep, I have the three rebels or the five rebels all the way across. And that shop is more of a two channel music. Yeah. And they were so excited. They're like, "You're using five of these for home theater?" I'm like, "Yeah, this is going to be awesome." And they're like, "Oh, okay." So yeah, it was really cool. And they worked out a good deal. And yep, they ordered them. In a couple of weeks, I went back and picked them up. So it was really cool.
Oh, that's such a great sales pitch to like a sales. I wouldn't call it a gimmick, but to let you take them home. I'd be like, just call them up. Yeah, I'm buying these ones. It's like, yeah, like, sorry, yeah. They're not coming back.
And they probably would have, but they were like, so they have all their stuff is in gloss black or in like this really cool, like a walnut. And I like the walnut, but I wanted black. And even though I don't like the gloss very much, I didn't want the walnut for this. My room's pretty much blacked out, so I wanted that. So I brought those back and ordered them all black. So it's cool though.
I have a place similar to that. I don't know if they'd let me take it home, but I bet you they would. I've talked to the owner now a few times, even in the last couple months. But it's called Natural Sound. It's in Framingham, Mass. I used to go there when I was working in Framingham back in the 90s. I used to go there all the time, and that's the one I've mentioned them on the podcast before. They have it's a old house. And you go into all the different rooms are set up for different demonstrations, similar to like what you're describing at your place. And I went there once in the 90s and my buddy bought a pair of these. They were like $13,000 speakers. So, they were the electrostatic stand, really tall, like almost as tall as me, but they were thin. And they were insane. But he lived in Boston. And he had some money, but. He was a weird guy. He had a lot of money. He got an apartment in Boston, crazy money for his apartment in Boston, two bedroom apartment. But he was working in a factory at stacking ice cream.
That's okay.
It was weird.
Just to keep busy or what? Yeah, I guess.
It was really weird. And he had all kinds, because we went into this place and I was telling him about it because of me going in there for home theater and stuff. But they had a ton of two channel stuff, right? And he walked in and I was just showing him the place and he's like, "Oh, I really like these. We did a demonstration again, listen to these speakers for like an hour or whatever." And he just bought them. And I'm like, "What are you doing?"
But I'm like, he just bought them.
Yeah. But, and he liked the idea. Like if, when he bought his place, he got his apartment in Boston that he's like, "I'm a reverse commuter," because he was living in town, but he would drive out of Boston in the morning. And it was like, it's great, no traffic. And then at the end of the day, at the end of work, he'd drive into Boston when everybody's coming out of Boston. So he's like, "It's the greatest thing." And I'm like, he was paying crazy money to live there. And I'm like, I don't know where he got his money, but his family must have had it or something. But good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, right, he's a great, great guy. Great guy. Bodybuilder, too. Huge bodybuilder, but he was Irish redhead. So tons of freckles. So he couldn't like compete bodybuilding, but he was that big. He had like no neck and everything. Just awesome guy. But he was funny. But, I don't know if I could do, you're giving me the bug to like, I want to go to Natural Sound and start like testing speakers, but I'm like, I don't know. I had you want to hear something funny? I had an incident yesterday with my speakers, of all things. So I worked yesterday morning, came home, did a ton of yard work. I was kind of like, I needed to calm down. I needed to relax. So I went into my theater. And what do I do to relax? I put on Star Wars, A New Hope. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to it. And I'm the opening scene and the whole thing and everything. And all of a sudden I'm like, this is weird. Something doesn't feel right. I'm like, is my ear okay? I'm like, I'm checking my ear. I'm like, no, it's all right. I'm like, and now we're starting to get to the scene where the lightsaber's, going to be lit up for the first time. And I'm like, I'm hearing ambient noises, but I'm like, why is there no ambient noise on my left? I'm like, it just feels weird. Just like I get up and I go and put my head next to the speaker. No sound out of my left side speaker. I'm like, so go to the behind the rack. Movie's still playing. Go behind the rack. I'm like, check that. No, Everything's connected. Pull the speaker out a little bit because it's kind of recessed into the wall. Yeah, disconnected.
Oh.
I was like, but I could, I mean, it was a weird pocket of missing sound that I could hear because my rear channel was working. My overhead was working. So I was still getting a little sound over there.
Yep.
But all of a sudden, I was just like, and I'm like, how the hell long has that been out?
You wonder, right?
It just, you know, you dial it down, it just kind of popped itself out. Like, things happen, you know?
Yep.
It's weird how you find it out, too. You're like, you know. So, let that be a lesson to everybody. Odyssey EQ every now and then. Run some test tones. Do something, because you never know what's going to disconnect.
You never know, right? Yeah, that bass just maybe rattled that baby right out of there for you. Who knows?
Yeah, it was weird. It was pretty far off. It was just sitting there. I was like, wow, that's, oh well. But put it back on and all was right again. I didn't back the movie up and start over. I've seen it before, so.
Yeah, a couple times.
But yeah, I could definitely, you're giving me that, like, maybe I should start upgrading some speakers, because especially that's what I like about going with neutral, is I could upgrade and gradually like do the front threes and then, you know, but when you go from speaker to speaker, what do you look for? Like, now you say you like the Revels, but I have a feeling you'll move off of those someday. What would you be moving? What would you look for in the next set?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think I'm going to have to, I would have to spend a lot to get better than this. And, I don't know, DJ. I think speakers, I'm kind of set for quite a while.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Yeah. I'm of the belief that like I like neutral, but then you have your B&Ws, you have like, even like a, Klipsch with the horn tweeters and stuff there.
Yep.
I don't think one is better than the other. Right.
Nope. Because I agree. Yep.
They're all like, but they're unique. And like, saying something is neutral doesn't necessarily mean that it's like, that's more accurate. It's like saying vanilla is the most accurate ice cream. Right. Yep. But chocolate is different, but vanilla is pure. Right. It's like they're just different. So for like what you were saying, like where like you'd have to spend more to get better.
Yeah.
What does better mean? Do you see what I mean?
I don't. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That is a good point. So, I did actually, I had a buddy who had some like Klipsch Cornwalls from like, I don't know, 1980 something. Have you ever seen those? They're huge. They have like a 15 or 18 inch pretty much woofer on it and a big horn. He loved them. I never liked those speakers. I'm not a big horn guy, I guess.
Mm.
But I did, off of Marketplace a couple years ago, pick up Reference Premier speakers from Klipsch.
Okay.
And also horn, but they didn't have that horn sound, and I actually liked them quite a bit. But I sold them to my brother-in-law, my new brother-in-law. And he loves them. And I went to the Ascends, and I did like those. I don't know. I guess I try to just like listen to the same songs I like and try to hear something I've never heard before. When we listen to these Revels, and it could be all in my head, I don't know. But we were listening to the opening song of The Greatest Showman. You ever heard that movie? Have you ever watched that movie before?
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
So we're listening to the soundtrack, and it's just the opening song from the thing. And we heard this going, and you could hear like a tiger like growl in the song, and me and the wife have never heard that before. And so I don't know if that's what better means. Can you hear instruments or sounds you've never heard before? I mean, I don't know. So that's kind of what I go with, you know.
Right.
Since most speakers are neutral, I guess I just try to like hear stuff I've never really been able to hear before, you know. And I did in this instance. So yeah, I don't know. I guess that I don't know what does make a speaker better than others. I'm not sure about that, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, I love that they let you take them home. I would sell that, but because I have a hard time back. I've been on my NHDs for 20 plus years, So
yeah, and you like them, DJ. So I don't know if I would, man. If I were you, I don't know if I would. You know.
Well, here's the thing. Like I said, when I upgraded my Denon, huge noticeable improvement in sound over the Onkyo that I had before that. And that was That was the first adoption of Atmos Onkyo receiver. Literally, that was the last Onkyo that I had. I had one before that that I really liked too. I believe that. The Onkyo I had before that, I believe, had Odyssey in it. That was back when Onkyo had Odyssey. And then the Atmos one didn't. But when I went to the Denon, huge improvement. I was blown away by how much that improved the sound in my room. Because you would have thought it was such an improvement. And I'm pretty sure I've said this before, but it's worth saying again. It was such an improvement that my wife thought I got a new projector. It improved the sound so much that seeing things more clearly. It was that good. And she's somebody, what I like about bringing her down, not necessarily my son. My son watches a lot in the theater with me. My wife doesn't. So when she comes down, it's sporadic, and she'll be like, it'll be maybe a month before, you know, or she hadn't been in there in a month, and then I'll bring her down because I'm like, check this out. So when she sees it, she's like, did you get a new projector too? Cause this is fantastic. Well, you know, and you're like, no, that's how good. Cause I felt the same way, but I didn't say that to her. I felt like, I'm like, my image looks better. And I did the same thing with the 4K. When I went to the 4K projector from the 1080p, I felt like my sound improved. It was that big of a jump from that too. So, but that's how, like we say all the time, like we do these things and it messes with your head because you're like, oh my God, is this really happening? But you literally, like, nothing changed on that image when I upgraded my receiver.
Yep.
But I never actually thought of this. What if the
HDMI connection, cleaner? Maybe?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe, possible? Right? Maybe.
It was possible, the Onkyo, right? Like suppressing my image, but at the time it wasn't even that good. It wasn't a 4K projector. It was my 1080p projector, my Vivitech. So it still was only a 1080p image passing through. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine it would have maybe that could have done something, but I doubt it. But it was that good. It was, and I've experienced that before. Anyways, something is that good, but maybe if I upgraded, I don't know. And I haven't shopped for speakers in 20 something years, but I've been through the process, and going through the process, I always thought was very difficult when you're in a demo room, you know, cause that's not your environment.
And
they can make that stuff sound so good.
Yeah.
And you get it home and you're like, I've never had buyer's remorse, but I had a hard time duplicating it, but I also didn't have 20 plus years ago. I didn't have room treatments in my room, you know? And I think now most of our listeners, they all are aware of that now, you know, the people listening to this, we all know, I think we have demo rooms for the most part, you know?
I think so. I've been to a lot of shops around the area, and surprisingly, almost no shops use room treatments. There is one home theater store near where I live, and, they have a room. It's got, like the SVS, Ultras, I mean, pretty nice stuff, you know? And a zero room treatment. And I've always asked them, I'm like, why don't you guys put up something? And they're like, I don't think most people care about that stuff. I'm like, that's crazy to me. Cause it just is. It's that they wouldn't put up something, you know?
But is it possible that that's sad to say that that's the more accurate depiction of the speakers for most of the consumers?
Yeah. No, right. I think they're probably worried of, you would listen to it in that room and they sound amazing. They bring it home. You're getting the reflections off the walls and they'd be like, oh, these speakers sound like crap. And, right. I want to return them. So maybe that's it. They're trying to stop returns. I don't know.
Right. And that, you know what I mean? Like, most people don't have room treatments. Most people are taking these home and they're putting them in their living room or something or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, they sound just like they did there because they didn't have the room treatments. Whereas the guy with the room treatments, you know what you know. And you can say to him, I need to. And then that's why, like, place like you were saying, they'll let you take them home. Here, go listen to them in your room. It sounds like that place, though, had room treatments, though, right? The one that let you take them home.
It's like just very minor. It was kind of crazy. It kind of was like the shop you were talking about, where it was like an old house type of thing. And all the rooms were small and they were jammed full of speakers and stuff, you know? And they had a little bit, but I don't know how much of a difference it really made, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And you have all the other speakers in the room that are sounds just bouncing off of it and everything. And I don't know. I don't think it made probably a big difference, the small head in there.
I was thinking the same thing. Whenever I go into these rooms, I'm not a fan of clutter at all.
Oh,
right.
And this is crazy. Oh, you'd have a heart attack. It's clutter central in these rooms, man.
I know. Cause like I said, when I went in to these places, I'd go in and be like, oh, like even in my own theater, my front three are behind the wall. I can't see them. I love the stealth look. I've always loved the stealth look. I loved it in car audio. I loved it. I love it in home theater. If I can get all of my speakers behind the wall, that's what I want. I love that because it's clutter free, right? It's neat.
Yeah.
It's nice. That's the way I like it. I'm not saying that's the way to do it. I'm just saying for anybody out there going, but I love my speakers. They're beautiful. I get that. Ara makes beautiful speakers, right? Yep. I want a pair from Ara. I've talked to him about it. I'm like, you know, maybe in a couple of years I'll get a pair from him because I'm going to be putting up a living room system with a turntable and everything. And I'm like, I would love to get a beautiful pair of speakers for that environment, for a living room environment where you're displaying them. They are. Speakers can be a work of art. And they are, most of them are. But in my theater, in a theater, to me, it's like that. I want stealth. So I don't care what they look like. I want nice, neat looking room. So when I go and test these things and there's like literally two dozen sets. Yes. Around the room. Like, okay, listen to these ones. Turn over here and listen to these ones. And then turn over here. Okay. You turn around and there's a whole other wall. And it's like, do you ever have trouble like finding where's the second one? Okay, I like that one. Now where am I listening? Oh, it's over here on the. But it sounds good, and you're like, okay, I think that sounded good. Now what? Let me hear this one. It's crazy, and that how can that be a good environment for testing speakers?
I don't think so. I think what the trick is, and when so if you're gonna get into this two channel world, here's my recommendation. And my wife started doing this. No, now seriously, if you're really going to do it, Dee Dee, so this is what she would do when she would go with me. She closed her eyes, and when you take the environment, especially for two-channel music, you take the environment out of it and just focus on the sound, it really is kind of amazing. So in those kind of rooms, it really did help. It's just weird when you close your eyes and you don't see anything, like they say, like the sound stage gets bigger and the imaging and all that, it really does. You just focus so much on the sound. It really is. It's pretty cool. It's a cool experience when you're just listening to music, you know? And so that helps with those, you know, cluttered rooms, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Close your eyes. I do that in my room. I do that for when I'm reviewing, when I'm breaking down a movie, I'll close my eyes and I'll just sit there and I'll listen. I'll watch the scene. Then I'll watch it again. And then I'll close my eyes, and especially if I'm trying to tell people like, okay, hey, there's a sound coming from like, you know, like 9 o'clock on the left here. I'm like, I will, if I'm giving you an actual position in the room, I guarantee you, I will have watched that scene with my eyes closed because that's how I can get, because if you take everything else out, you can pinpoint, and it's like you said, it opens up the sound stage for you, and you can actually pinpoint distances too. I can't remember the movie I did a little while ago where I said the sound got further away behind me, and it was like, I remember it was to my right rear, and the sound started at one point, but then got further and further away, but it was where a speaker isn't, which I thought was amazing. And it's like, but yeah. I did that when my eyes closed, and you sit there and keep your head forward and be like, okay, it's coming from right over there. And it's like, I got it. And it's, you, but yeah, you have to do it with your eyes closed. And it, it, once you eliminate that sense, another sense, your other ones are heightened. So
I was wondering, is it, are we like, do we come like Daredevil or something? You can't see, and all of a sudden you can hear everything, or what? I wonder.
Yeah. That's what I love the movie because of that. I love that idea. Yeah. I mean, that's actually true for people that lose. If you lose a sense, your other senses will get heightened to compensate for it. It's, you know, that's science, but so, I mean, when you do it, I mean, obviously you're just focusing your hearing, whatever, but yeah. And that's, have you seen Daredevil? That Daredevil episode, that whole entire, the Ben Affleck Daredevil.
Yep. I've seen both the TV and the movie. Yep.
The movie, the director's cut. Yep. Do you have the director's cut?
You know what? I don't know. I think I might. I don't know if I've actually watched that one though. I have it on Blu-ray.
I wouldn't even call it a guilty pleasure. It's like, because a lot of people don't like that movie. They think it's a bad Marvel movie. It was bad, but it was bad before Marvel was good and blah, blah, blah. I've always loved that movie because of the sound. Because they use sound. It's Daredevil, you know, using sonar to do his thing. And it's like the sound mix in that movie. It's I think I did that one way, way, way back. When I first started the podcast, I think I did that one, but the movie isn't, you know, it's not what Marvel movies are today, but the soundtrack is so good. I love that movie.
Yep. My favorite, I was going to get to this at some point, but we're huge Marvel fans. Like we go see all the movies day one and all that stuff.
Yep.
But, Bullseye is actually my favorite, Marvel villain. So anytime I can get any Bullseye, I'm all about it, man. You know?
Yeah,
so,
Colin Farrell.
Yeah. I mean, that was okay. And then in the show, I was so upset when they didn't do season 4, because did you watch the Netflix Daredevil?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they were really, and I thought that Bullseye was so cool. And then at the very end, they gave you a little teaser. And I'm like, oh, man, season 4 is going to be all Bullseye. And then nothing, man. I'm like, oh, dang it. So
maybe we'll get it. They didn't use his name either.
Nope, they Bullseye. Never did.
For some reason, I remember when that happened, it was something about, like, Marvel wouldn't let them or something like that. There was some, legal thing that they weren't allowing it, but they, but we all knew. And I think, did they use his Bullseye's real name or something like that? I think they did some way to distinguish him as Bullseye.
Yeah, I think so. I think they might have, I can't remember now. I think they used his last name. But boy, I don't remember
something like that. Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head. Yep. But yeah. It's I loved that show. When it first came out, I was like, I remember that was the first Netflix show that was the first show that I started getting up at 5 a.m. to watch, and I would watch one episode every day because they drop all at once, right? You got now I think season 1's like 15 episodes, isn't it? That was back when they did like full run seasons, like a 15 episode season, I think.
Yeah, it might have been. I don't remember. Yeah,
it might have been, or it's 13, but it wasn't like it is today where it was, you get 8, maybe 10.
Sometimes 6 or something. Yeah.
And I remember with Daredevil and then Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and all that, Iron Fist, people were like, they got to shorten these seasons up. And now they have, and everybody's like, why aren't these seasons so short? And it's like, because everybody bitched and moaned. It's like, so they're trying to shorten it up and give you just enough so that you'll come back for more. But Daredevil, I remember getting up every morning because I'd have to drive my son to school. He school choiced, so I'd have to drive him to his high school two towns away. But I would get up every morning, I put that on, and I remember just any time that the opening to that show plays.
Isn't it like the big bass drop on the end of it or something? Mm-hmm.
I would never, I never fast forwarded it. I loved the opening, and I just sat there and I just remember, oh, this, and even now, it's just like, I feel like when that plays, I'm like, all right, got to drive Joe to school.
Like alarm, yeah.
But I do it now. I'm still doing it now. It's like I love to get a show that I'm really into and gets me out of bed in the morning to get down into my theater. And I'm doing The Expanse right now.
Okay.
I'm almost done with that. I'm in season 5 right now. Have you seen that one?
Nope. I haven't seen that one.
Ooh, you would like that. It's on Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime. The last 2 seasons are in Dolby Atmos and Dolby Vision. But it's really good. Really good sci-fi series. The first season's a lot of world building and you're getting to know a lot of different characters. So it feels a little slow because you can't keep track. At least I was like, I can't keep track of all this. Mm-hmm. But like by the 3rd, 4th episode of season 2, you're just like, I can't wait for the next episode. And I just make myself wait till the next day. Sometimes they'll end on a cliffhanger. So because you can binge, I'll be like, all right, well, I'll just watch the first 5 minutes of the next episode to get me through the day because I don't want to be left like that. But what are you watching right now?
They're not really home theater movies, I guess, really, but on HBO Max, I'm really liking Winning Time. Have you watched that? It's the story about like the Lakers dynasty.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Braden was watching it. Braden Russell was telling me he loves it, but he lives
did. And the bad thing for you though, DJ, they kind of they're not big fans of the Boston Celtics. So
No.
I don't know how you're gonna feel about that. But are you a basketball guy?
Not really. Basketball is probably basketball and baseball are the bottom two. I'm a hockey guy. I love football. I like watching it. I love, but baseball and basketball, I'm more of a just fair weather fan. If they're doing well, I'm like glad to see they're doing well, but I love playing all of them. I love playing basketball. Played a ton of basketball growing up. I just can't watch it. I did watch it growing up. I love Larry Bird. I love the whole Winning Time story. I love Magic. I love their story together, how they kind of saved the NBA, literally, right?
Yep, and that's exactly what it is, yep.
Yeah, and that's been well documented over the years, but the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson era, if it wasn't for that, Jordan might not have been Jordan. And I absolutely love Michael Jordan. Loved watching Jordan. Love watching him compete against the Celtics. I used to take a TV. Do you remember? I don't even. Do you remember the Sony? Not Sony. Was it Sony? Sega. Sorry, Sega Game Gear. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh. Okay. Sure. Yep. Uh-huh.
So I had that, and do you remember? You put your game in the top of it, and you could play. Yep. Right. But there was also a TV attachment. Did you know that? Yeah. So it was a TV attachment that you slid in, and now the screen became your TV. It had a dial on it. It had a little rabbit ear antenna would pull up off of it, and you would sit there. So when I was at the time, like when Jordan was in his heyday in the 90s, I was working third shift. So I'd be getting to work in the NBA finals and we'd be all sitting there watching on our breaks. We'd be sitting there watching the NBA finals on this little Sega Game Gear. And everybody was like, this is so cool. Cause we didn't have TVs in there or anything. And what was nice is I worked, I guess it's nice. I was working in the freezer stacking ice cream. It was 20 below in the freezer. So by law, you could only be in there for 40 minutes. So every hour you were guaranteed a 20 minute break. But if the station you were working on, there was 2 guys on it. So you get half and half. So every hour you got a half hour break. So I would just leave the TV out and the guy I was working with and everybody. So every half hour, what's the score now? So I got to see a lot of it while I was working, going back and forth. And I actually, at one point, I actually brought the thing into the freezer with me, but the reception wasn't very good. But yeah, I loved basketball then. I just don't follow it. It's not engaging enough to me right now.
Nope, I'm the same thing. I mean, being from Illinois, the Jordan era was everything. You know, like the whole town shut down during those finals, you know? But I don't watch anything anymore. I don't watch basketball very much. But I thought that show was awesome because of the era. You know, even though that was a little bit before the Jordan era, everybody knows Magic and Bird, you know? So it's cool. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually pretty cool. I didn't even think of that. Like, you're from, like, you're a Chicago fan.
Oh, yeah. So Jordan, he's like, you know, I don't know, pretty much a god over here, you know. Still, yeah, and always will be. He's Brady. He's Brady to you guys. You know?
I was just going to say, it's like, I honestly think Brady, because they're friends and hyper competitive, which I think is.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So everybody in the world knows Jordan is hyper competitive, right?
Yep.
Super gambling. Super. I mean, luckily he has, you know, he's got his Hanes money. He's got his Nike money. He's got all of this money that he can gamble away. Right.
Right.
So to him, it's not really a vice. It's his entertainment.
Yep.
But he is, I've heard that we had, obviously when we had Terry Francona here for the Red Sox, he coached Jordan in the minor leagues when Jordan played for the White Sox minor league team. Right.
Yep.
And he was like, that guy, the stories that Francona would tell here that I heard him on sports radio out here. He was like, Jordan is everything was a competition to him. Everything, everywhere they went. He was like, I'll bet you about this. I'll do this. I want to do that. He's always competing, always. So I say that to say, like, and that's well documented. Everybody knows Jordan's like that, right? That's not well documented on Tom Brady.
No, he just seems the calmest, nicest guy around. But yeah, you just can see when he plays, man, he's a killer, but he's a silent killer, you know?
Right. And that's what I think is really interesting to me about Tom Brady, is that he has cultivated a perception, like a really good one. Right. Like,
he's really good. Right.
He's never, like, you never see him acting poorly to a fan. You never hear a story from anybody about his temper. You never hear anything like he's just like a wholesome guy. And that's, you know, but you have to know that when you have a passion like that, and he can get that fired up, that he can also get that angry. And he can get that upset, right?
And, you know, he just expects his teammates to give 100% all the time, you know? Yeah. And if you're not, I've seen the things of him yelling at people on the sidelines.
But, yeah, yeah. You know? That's because his perception, the perception of him off the field, is such a nice guy. We give him the benefit of the doubt. Most people give. People are like, look at that. You shouldn't treat anybody that way. Well, I don't know. Because, I mean, I've seen people treated worse on sidelines. Right. And let's just say he's got the track record to back it up, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Do what he says and we're going to win the Super Bowl.
I just think the interesting thing is, like, I think he's just like Jordan. I think they're identical. It's just our perception of the two public figures is like polar opposites, but they're like really good friends, and I think they're the same person, and that's why they enjoy each other's company too. They push each other. And I think he wanted that 7th Super Bowl to go ahead of Jordan. I would not doubt for a second.
I could totally see that, DJ. Yeah. I never thought about that, but I could totally see that. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yep.
That was probably the first call he made too.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, he's in the locker room, like, got you, sucker. You know?
And Jordan's like 55 and he's like, who'd sign me? I'm going to get a 7, you know?
Yeah. I said that. I was thinking that when he might have only had 5 at the time. Only. Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Brady was like 1/5 or something. Or me. I think once he got to 4, got over that hump, you know, only winning 3, that's tough. Once he got to 4 and 5, I'm like, I think he wants to go for Jordan, because you know, they were already friends, that they've been friends for years, and I really thought that maybe that's what his motivation was. I mean, he's still motivated now, but I think once I think he made that call to Jordan, it was like,
yep. That's funny, man.
You coming out of retirement, buddy?
Yeah, because I think actually what Jordan owns the Hornets or whatever, so couldn't it would have been something if he just suits up the next year trying to get it, even though I don't think the Hornets were gonna win a, you know, a championship.
No, but it would have been
funny anyway.
Yeah.
yeah
as an owner. But what else do you now, I've had people come on and say they make a list. Do you have a list?
No.
Did you make a list, or do you have ideas on things you want to get to?
Oh, there's so many things I want to get to. I want to tell you a lot of stories, but
go ahead.
I was going to make a list, but then I was really nervous about this kind of thing. But I figured I'm like, DJ is really nice and really cool. And once we get talking, I think it's just going to flow. Yeah. So I didn't make a list, but
no, that's fine.
No, I want to tell you, I'm kind of a bass head. My room's little, but I have a lot of subwoofers in here. And when we moved in 2018, I had a 15-inch SHU. That's all I had. And it's really nice. But I wanted to get something else because you're supposed to even up the bass, you know? So I got
for all those other imaginary people when you're in your room all by yourself.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. Yeah, nobody, like, I have no friends that really, I didn't know come watch a movie. Nobody cares.
No, we do that. That's what we do.
No. The only person that even kind of cares is my 8-year-old daughter. She'll watch movies with me, but, you know, she doesn't really care either. But I got a 12-inch SVS just to even up the bass, right?
Yeah, Dad, we're getting a dip over here in the back corner. Can we do something about that?
Well, I have a really funny story for her, too. But hold on, DJ.
Okay.
All right, so I had that. It was one of those ones. It was the SVS Black Friday deals. They were selling those NSD SB12s for like a couple hundred bucks, whatever. So I got one of those, and then upgrade itis kicked in. And there was a guy in one of the Facebook groups, and I don't know if you've ever seen him before. Do you watch Youth Man? Do you watch his videos?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So there's this guy named Scott Newby. Okay. So he has a room that's pretty much the same as mine, DJ. And he's got, now he's got 5 JTR subwoofers. They have dual 18s in them. Okay. So before that, though, he had all power sound audio stuff and he was selling that to go to this. So imagine he's got a 14 by 16 foot room with, now he's got 10 18s in them. And let me tell you something, man. Me and a buddy went to go. He was selling a dual 18 sub power sound audio. So me and a buddy go there to listen. And I'm like, hey, while I'm here, I got to hear your setup, right? He put on the song. It's called Centipede. If you just want to play with your bass in your room, it's called Centipede, right? Okay. Look it up on any whatever. And so it's kind of tricky because at first it's like a Discovery Channel documentary. They're talking about stats about centipedes or whatever. And then it like ramps up. And then the first bass note hits, and I don't know what, it's 20 hertz or something, but so he didn't really warn us, and he didn't turn up as high as, because I guess he can get down to 5 or 6 hertz at like 140 decibel. It is like really ridiculous. Oof. Like his walls actually flex in this room. But anyway, so he didn't turn up that loud, but it hurt when it first hit. I swear to God, like my right eardrum, I thought actually came loose from my ear. It was so like impactful.
Oh.
And I'm like, dude, you need to like kind of warn people because that is crazy, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So he's on Youth Man's whatever, his videos, whatever. Look up Scott Newby and you got to see this dude's room. He's really cool, but he's another guy that upgrades crazy. And he's, so I bought a dual 18 from him and I put that up to the front. And then he actually had another 15-inch power sound audio. So now I have 2 18s up front and 2 15s behind the couch as like near field.
Yeah.
All right. So it's awesome, you know? And so we were watching, and my daughter loves watching all the movies with me, and she'll watch pretty much everything, you know, that up to a certain limit that an 18-year-old or 8-year-old can watch. But the ceiling tiles in my theater were like, they were vibrating and shaking so much that when in the projector light, you could see all the like, dust. I don't know what you'd say, like the ceiling. Was coming down, right?
From it. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And my wife just out of nowhere, she goes, I don't know. I think the ceiling is going to fall on us. Well, it scared my daughter. She thought like the ceiling was going to fall. So anytime I was like, you want to go watch a movie? And she's like, does it have any bass? And I'm like, well, it's got some bass, because she actually thought the ceiling was going to fall down on her. So I had to like say, listen, your mom was just being silly, but you know,
I never even thought of that, because I'm working on a design for a new theater. And I'm like, I was thinking of going with a, you know, suspended ceiling,
yeah,
acoustically, mm-hmm, you know, acoustic panels up in the ceiling.
Yeah.
And I never even thought that like that bass could actually push those like that. I'm like, cause it would, and it obviously it did in yours, and it's,
yeah.
How light are your panels? Are your ceiling panels?
I think they're probably lighter? they're like 1 inch, you know, and I don't know. I think I do like them because, boy, when I have to like run cables or speaker wire, it's so easy. And I wouldn't change it. I do like it a lot. I don't know. I don't have any complaints. It's just we noticed. And the only reason that we noticed is I was switching out projectors. And so I had my couch. I don't have home theater seating. We decided to go with like a couch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have like a bar type thing behind it with like three seats.
Yep.
And I hadn't put the projector up. I just set that projector on that bar top right behind our seats. So you could actually have the line of light was like kind of on the side of your head. And that was the only time I could actually see that dust coming down. Because when it's mounted to the ceiling like it is now, you can't see it.
Right.
But you could then. So when, you know, some good bass hits or whatever, and they were shaking those and all the dust. I mean, it was kind of raining down, you know?
Yeah.
But it's so cool, man. I just love the ridiculous bass, you know?
Yeah.
I do.
If you don't have... I honestly went years without a subwoofer because I just couldn't afford it at the time when I was building my theater. I was in an apartment too, so it didn't really make much sense to get a subwoofer when you're in an apartment like I was.
Right. You
know, it's just going to rock the whole building and everybody's going to be upset.
Yep.
But you really kind of like don't have the full, I hate to say picture, but you don't have the full environment without a decent subwoofer setup. Cause it's when people experience that and be like, oh, what is the difference? And then like, oh my God, do you know how much you're missing out of getting, good pressure in your room and getting those full, getting down as low as you can, it is whatever your room is capable of. It's like, there's so much more. I love it. I guess for me, I'm not big into music like you guys are, but my big subwoofer thing was that trailer for the latest Mission Impossible with Henry Cavill.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when he cocks his fists in the bathroom and they put that bass to it? I saw that in a Dolby Cinema, that trailer, and I was like, I need to duplicate that. I need that.
Oh, okay.
Boom, boom, and you'd feel it on your chest and boom, boom. I was like, my son and I were like, I got to duplicate that. And that was it. That sent me down the rabbit hole. And I had two subs at the time, but they weren't that good. And that's when I went to SVS and I got that my SV, my PB. Yeah, PB 2000. I always get the numbers, man. I'm like, ported box. Okay. PB 2000s.
Yeah.
I got two of those. And when I put those in, my son and I, I think that's the first thing we pulled up was that trailer. And I was like, I got it. I'm like,
you got it. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you could feel that and you're like, oh, it was so good. So good.
So now, since you go to Adobe, have you had a movie experience, at the theater that was close to your, at home now? Do you ever like say, mm-mm, wow, that's similar, right? Even the Dolby cinemas are cool. They are, but
they are.
Everything is like, I go to see the Marvel movies because I don't want to be spoiled. But if I could wait, I'd wait. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm, I would wait till we could get them at home.
I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't wait because what I like to do is, I honestly think I'm like, I've yet to experience something as good as my theater.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not trying to say that those theaters aren't good, but what easy for me to say, their issue is something they can't correct. And it's not intimate enough. The speakers are too far away. There are too many speakers there. It's just a bigger environment that's meant for the masses. And that's why that's why I like going on opening night. That's why I like to go when the theater is full and everybody, I mean, Spider-Man, No Way Home, all of those big reveals, I still get chills now in my theater by myself, but it's the memory of people cheering and clapping and people being, oh my God, like that. It was just amazing to experience that. It's funny, Tom just saw it for the first time, and it was funny listening to Tom and Rob talk about it because they're 100% right, because they're like, they literally, in the movie, they left like a gap after those reveals for everybody to applaud, right?
Yep.
And now when you watch it in your theater, you're like, now if you saw it in the theater, you're taking that gap, and that's triggering your memory of being like, oh yeah, everybody clapping.
Oh,
but if you're like Tom and you didn't see it in the theater, you're just like, well, that's a weird gap, right?
Yep.
So it's like, that's why I don't want to, that's one reason why I wouldn't wait to see it at home. And the
I agree with you on that.
The other reason is I love to compare it. I love that.
You watch a movie like 10 times on every source you have now just to compare.
So to be able to see it in the theater, that to me is going to the theater is the preview of what we're going to get at home. And it's always been better. Always been better. Even going to a Dolby Cinema, even going to an IMAX theater. It's like, I mean, it looks great. It's a different experience seeing an IMAX on a big screen. But when I sit down in my theater, the way that sound moves around the room, the way I can distinguish each individual sound, it's just so much better. It's just such a more enveloping environment. It's a different environment. I guess in a way, much like we were talking about speakers earlier, is one better than the other? Maybe not. Maybe I just prefer the more intimate environment, but they're two different environments that, you know, Dolby Cinema, I think, is the best of going to the theater, right? I actually prefer that over the IMAX because I do like the sound. I think the sound in the Dolby Cinema is better than the IMAX sound, and I prefer that. I love the big screen, but it's just the big screen.
No, I don't really care about the big screen. And the last movie I saw on IMAX was Dunkirk, and it was so loud. I haven't been back. I just didn't like it very much. You know, it like the bullets bouncing off the planes, and it was so loud.
Yeah,
I'm like, it's just not that fun to me. So yeah. I haven't been to one since. Yeah,
I love Dunkirk. I love that.
Yeah,
one.
Me too.
I love playing that in my theater. I haven't played that in a long time. You want to hear something funny? The reason, I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast. The reason I haven't done Dunkirk yet is Dunkirk, I think, had just come out before I started doing the podcast. I think it came out like that summer.
Okay.
And I talked to a friend of mine who was also in podcasting at the time. He was doing the Boxers podcast. And the way they got their name was Redbox, right? And to rent the DVD.
Okay.
And they did a half hour podcast where they would review movies. Really good. Loved these guys. And this guy's name, Marcus. And I, much like I've had listeners come on and like Dan last week was on and he lives like the next town over. Well, Marcus lives the next town over from me. And so I was asking him some advice about doing a movie. I wanted to do my home theater, and we went to lunch one day and we were talking, and I was like, would you be interested in coming on? I would love to do. And he had just recently seen Dunkirk, and he's like, oh, I really like that. I go, oh, we'll do that one together. But what's interesting is he didn't think this podcast would make it.
He's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't into home theater. He was into movies. He liked to watch movies on TV. You know, he'd rent them and watch them and he'd review them. So it was more like a Siskel and Ebert review in the movie type thing, not a home theater. One of the things that we talked about was he's like, what are you going to talk about every week? I'm like, I don't know, my theater. Talk about what it's like being in the theater. And like, I honestly didn't have 100% idea on which direction this would go, but I knew I just wanted to talk home theater. He's like, I don't think there's an audience for that. And I'm like, this is honestly, I do a comics book podcast too. This is the most engaging audience. And I've talked with other people in podcasting and they're like, the engagement that you get, I go, it's a ridiculously engaging audience. And it's because we're all just dying to talk about this. It's like, you know, you can go to a comic book store and talk comics, and that's why we do that. My other podcast is us hanging out in a comic book store. That's what we're emulating, right? And so that's all we do. Yep. We just talk comics or talk all thing comics. Sometimes we even mix in home theater. And I've had a lot of people go from home theater pod, my home theater podcast, to my comic book podcast. But nobody that I know of has gone the other direction.
Okay.
And I have a fairly good listenership over on the comics too, but they're just, it's just not as engaging. They're just, because there's a ton of comic book podcasts out there too. There's not as many home theater. But it's just funny that, you know, and I've been holding on to Dunkirk for him. I was going to have him on at some point. Then obviously the pandemic hit and everything. Yeah. And so it was, you know, I think if I remember, I started in 2019. So
okay. The
pandemic hit right after I started doing home theater. So I haven't seen him, and he, you know, he got out of podcasting since then. He's got a very, he's very busy. He's got a couple of kids, he's got business to run and stuff. So I haven't actually been in touch with him, but I haven't done Dunkirk for that one reason, that I wanted to do it with him. But I also think it's funny that, and I'd love to have him back on, especially, you know, I'm coming into my third year would be 3 year anniversary of this show will be in October, November.
Yep. So I'd that's gone fast. Wow.
Yeah. And I'd love to have him back on and be like, so, you think I wouldn't made it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Look at me now, man.
Look at me now. Still just, this is what I'm doing. I'm like, I mean, but yeah, it's, I love that movie. Love it. And it is loud listening to that at reference level. It's dialed up really loud. Those opening scenes, the gunshots, the bass and that, and it's all 5.1.
Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. Christopher Nolan, what he does with 5.1 is so awesome. Like The Dark Knight is one of my just favorite sounding movies, and there's no Atmos. And I don't upmix it or anything. I just leave it, and it's so good, you know. I think.
So you
just
don't upmix it.
Not for the Christopher Nolan movies, I don't. You know, it's kind of weird.
Is that a respect to him?
I don't know. I kind of feel like in his movies, I just really hear a lot more of the side channels, you know? I don't know if like the Atmos takes some of that side channel mix into the ceiling speakers or not, but in just 5.1, I think I just feel a lot more behind me and at the side of me. I don't know. Maybe it's in my head, you know?
I
just like that. Yeah, it's just so for those, I just let it be what it is, man, you know?
I always upmix, and I really enjoy it. I find it's a topic I'd like to probably investigate a little bit more and talk with some more people about, but I feel like it's not even necessary anymore to actually have an Atmos track because the mixers are so good that our receivers are processing the information so well that you could take a 5.1 mix and it sounds just as good. If it's upmixed in NeuralX or Dolby Surround, I honestly would be willing to bet in a blind test you wouldn't know which was which. Honestly,
I would agree with you.
You know, yep. And it's like I think it's funny when people say like, "Well, Atmos can have or DTS has better bass." Well, that's just how they mixed it.
But yeah, exactly.
They all can do the same frequencies.
It's like, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Not that I needed any reason to watch The Dark Knight again, but I think I'm going to watch it like close to back-to-back, DJ. One up mixed and one not, and just see which one I like.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I just watched it recently. I just watched The Dark Knight again recently. So I haven't gone back to straight 5.1, but I may do a few of those scenes, especially the opening scene would be interesting to do in 5.1.
Definitely one of the best demo scenes, in my opinion, you know? Yeah. It's so awesome.
Yeah, the disc, for some reason, am I remembering right that the disc actually defaults to the lower? It's not the master audio, if I remember.
That might be one of them. I know Aquaman for sure is one of those.
Yeah.
I don't remember if...
I know Superman. Superman, okay. The movie, that has an Atmos track, the newest 4K Superman the movie, and it defaults to the lower audio. I remember putting that in and being like, "This just doesn't feel right. It's not as punchy, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember when I used to put the discs in. I remember the Dark Knight defaulted to the wrong one. Which was nice when I first got the Zepedi. That was kind of cool because you could set it to, you can actually eliminate all the other tracks when you're saving it to a file. You just eliminate all the other tracks so that it only plays that one track. So,
well, that's, I definitely want to talk to you about that stuff too, because that was the one thing I definitely want to do next. I just don't know which way to go. It's a PD versus Kaleidoscape, you know?
Honestly, I think it depends on what you're looking for. I think, I think they're both great. But if you're hands-on, which you seem to be, do you have any computer like savvy? Are you with like, or are you like me? Like, you're not afraid to do it, but
that's how I am. And I've actually, I know two people that actually have. So one guy's got a PD 4K, so not the newest ones that just came out, but the last one. And he was actually thinking about selling it with a burner and the software.
Oh,
you mean, right?
Okay.
Okay. Yep. And then I know somebody that's actually got a Strato S for sale too at a pretty decent price, you know. But I really love the hunt of going to pawn shops and used movie stores and getting discs. Although Kaleidoscape is awesome for the quality, I just don't know how much I would like that, you know, just buying it and having it. I like looking for those deals for the movies, you know.
Then definitely do, I would say, as a PD is for you. I would absolutely, especially if he has everything. And he's selling everything. And I highly, highly recommend going with a NAS. Like I have a Synology 5 bay. That was a big upgrade for me. That, I mean, the 4K Pro, I believe, is the one you're talking about. It has two bays in it. And how big is your disc collection right now? About how many 4Ks?
Maybe 100, you know. I would say 100. Yeah.
Okay. So you could get you can do what I did and just start, right? And then, you'd be doing some backtracking. So what I did is I put everything onto a hard drive, but then when you go to put it into a NAS system, the problem is you have to format that hard drive again. So what I ended up having to do is I had to buy another hard drive. So I was buying 16 terabyte hard drives, and those are like $300 to $400 a piece. And if you, so say you fill up a 16 terabyte hard drive and with movies, which doesn't really take long. I mean, your 100 movies would probably fill that up if I remember. Yeah. I can't remember how many.
Something like, I think it's around there. I think it says like 80 to 100 or something.
Something like 16, that, right? Something like so that. You fill it up, but then if you go to upgrade to a NAS later, you have to put in a new, you have to, if you want to do a backup system, which I did a RAID system. So I have a single, so I have five drives in there now, but I'm utilizing four, which means any one of them can fail at any time. I can pull that out and I don't lose any movies. I put in a new drive and I'm safe always monitoring. So that was a little bit of, you know, that was some protection there. Cause the last thing you want to do is lose all your, and I had a hard drive fail as, you know, what was it, like a year ago or something.
Yep, I remember that. Yeah.
So there's some headaches there with the Zapiti. There's some playing, there's some tinkering. But once you have it up and running, it's great. It's, you know, it's a little bit, if you've never experienced the Kaleidoscape, it's very smooth. The Zapitis are very smooth, they're very nice. The user interface is fantastic. You know what you would like about the Zapiti is you can make your own art. You can put whatever you want on there, whatever image. So like when you have that wall on your screen of all your movies, all those movie posters that you're getting on your screen, you picked from. You can pick. Cool. It's really cool. Kaleidoscape, it is what it is. You just get the one. It is. The artwork is, they choose it. That's it. But I will say, going to the Kaleidoscape, it's way the user interface to me is way more slick. It's way more like it's easier to manipulate around. I find myself jumping. It's faster interface, oh. Like going from one movie to a next. Like I can come out of one movie and be into the next movie in probably under 30 seconds.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Kaleidoscape. I'm sorry. Zapedi is more like it's faster than having to get up and go and put in another disc. Absolutely. But you back out of the movie, the processor's a little slower. Then you go, it takes more clicks to jump back in to get to the next movie. Then you hit play. Now, this sounds stupid because it's all first world problems. I still haven't gotten up out of my chair. It's still beautiful. It's still everything looks great.
Right.
But it's just, yep. You know what I mean? It's just not as, like, literally, that's why I use the word slick. It really feels slippery going in the Kaleidoscape. You're like, zing, I'm right into the next movie, right? But
yeah.
If you're a person like me that loves to just jump from scene to scene, watch a bunch of movies, do that, that's what I think a Kaleidoscape is for, right? For our type of person. If you're a collector, you love your hard, you love the discs, you love that physical media, you love hunting, then absolutely, I think you would absolutely love a Zapedi.
Okay, so for the Zapedi, I know you can in the Kaleidoscape, but can you, are you able to like make a list of just scenes? So like if I wanted to just do like 50 scenes from different 50 different movies, can I make a list on the Zapedi or just to play that scene? Or do I got to go into the movie and select that scene?
So
can you do that on there?
No, I've never done it on the Zapedi. I know people have. There's software. Cause what ends up happening is with the Zapedi, you end up getting into the world of like make MKV. You're actually creating these files that there's a way on the Zapedi that you can take. So you know how some movies in 3D, for instance, they don't have the Atmos track. But there's a way that people can actually take, people have taken the Atmos track off of the 4K version and inserted into the file for the 3D so that they can get both. Oh. So there's software to do that. Now, that's why I'm saying if you like to tinker, there's a ton of stuff you can do with these things that is, it's really, that's what's fun about the Zapedi is that it plays all the, it's like Plex on steroids because Plex, from what I understand about, I've never experienced a Plex, but Plex has limitations in what it can do for Atmos, what it can do for DTS:X. It's more, it doesn't support as many type of files as the Zapedi does. Zapedi does an ISO file, like it plays everything. And that's what makes it so nice is that it can just play the raw file. And I don't know the terms. Rob H knows all these terms off the top of his head. It's all the different types of files, right? Yep. But it can actually play the raw file right from the Blu-rays. Whereas a Plex, it has to be converted to an make MKV type thing. Okay. So that in itself on the Zapedi makes it a little bit more stable and it allows you to do a little bit more stuff with it. And I know the newer ones, they actually support Dolby Vision too, but I don't know anybody that's gotten a new one yet. They're very hard to come by.
And then as a projector guy, it doesn't really matter either, you know, but
I think you would have fun with it. There's a learning curve to it. Absolutely. There's a learning curve. Obviously, if you get one, I can help you out and I can shorten that learning curve substantially because I made a crap load of mistakes. So I know the pitfalls to avoid. But I think the Kaleidoscape, I'm glad I got mine when I got it, meaning in my life. Like if I gotten that early on, I think I would have missed out on a lot of other stuff that I learned because the Kaleidoscape, but there's no learning curve.
It's nothing.
I plugged it in and you connect it to your Ethernet stuff. You have to have a good Ethernet connection in your house. So I connected that. I looked at my screen. I walk out of my media closet. I go into my theater and I'm like, okay, well, oh, there's the image. Welcome to Kaleidoscape. Go to this website. I had to come to my computer in here where I'm sitting right now, and it said, go to here and you'll find it on, and it walks you right through it. You got to open up a browser. You're like, okay, sign up. Boom, boom. Okay. Now hit play. Okay. Sign up, put my credit card in. Boom. Go back in the room. Now it's playing. That was it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell? I was like, and then there were a couple settings you do, and all your settings you do through the computer. Not through the Kaleidoscape.
Simple.
Yeah, super simple. It's like, all right, I have one setting because of the Lumigen that I want full flow, right? Some people with a projector, it can do, the Kaleidoscape can actually do what the Panasonic players do, where they HDR modification, right? Enhancement, yep, or whatever, yep, they call it. I can't remember the term.
Yep. I think HDR optimizer.
Optimizer. Yeah. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like having Rob H. sitting right here.
No, not even close.
But you can do that with the Kaleidoscape. So you can actually optimize it for a projector. And mine was, it was set for a projector. I don't know if it was default or whatever. And I'm looking at my image and I'm like, oh, my black levels don't seem very good. I go on the computer and I was like, oh, there it is. Clicked on it. And it's like, it basically, it was like full flow or something they call it. Like, give me everything. It gave me everything. I was like, whoa, there you go. And it's like, everything yep. was great, but it was super sick. That was all inside of like 15 minutes. It took me longer to unbox the thing. I'm like, this is great. I'm like,
yeah, I've always thought it's kind of like, iTunes with, like disc quality, you know, the mm-hmm. iTunes is so smooth and it's so mm-hmm. easy. It's just the quality's not there, but that's what Kaleidoscape gives you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's iTunes with a disc quality.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm loving it now. I love physical media. I still buy discs. There's discs out there that aren't available on Kaleidoscape. You know, that you don't get the same track or whatever, because there's always going to be differences. But yeah, it's, I think that's a completely different type of person that would love a Kaleidoscape other than myself. It's a person that just wants super simple, easy, done.
Yep.
And it's like, yep. they don't really care about the hobby. They just want to have movies. And some of these people don't even care about the quality. They just know, like, So there's multiple reasons to buy all of these things, and there's multiple reasons not to buy them. And,
yep.
you know, I've actually not tried to talk people out of a Kaleidoscape, but been like, I'm not sure you would get the benefit of it, because some people won't, you know? I was actually, my buddy John from my other podcast, he really wants one now. And I thought for a while, I was like, I don't think you would like it. You don't watch movies like I do. But since having it and being able to pop out of a movie so fast and into another movie, I think he would like that. And he agrees. And it's like, but I want to be honest, neither of these things are cheap, but no. they're fun. And I would never want to point somebody in a direction and be like, why'd you tell me to get this? This thing's, you know, I wasted so much money. I'm like, no, I'll tell you the truth. But because they aren't for everybody, but they are fantastic. They are.
Oh yeah. I'm sure Both once I had one, I wouldn't regret it at all.
yeah.
The Kaleidoscape, you know,
I think you would like the Zapiti more though. The way you collect movies and stuff. Yeah.
Me too. And that's the reason that I have, because the Kaleidoscape just seems like such a, like a dream item, you know, but then I was like, man, I'd hate to have any kind of disappointment at owning a Kaleidoscape when I still like wanted to buy the movies, you know,
right.
on disc, you know, and I don't know how much interested I'm in buying it twice. You know, I don't think I'd want to buy it. Because Kaleidoscape, you can get a lot of the movies, what, 30 days early than a disc?
I don't know if there's I haven't noticed a pattern of like how early. I just know I've seen them early. You know, like Uncharted. I don't think that was 30 days. I think that was only a couple weeks. I think that that's coming. But I would
want.
I'd want
to buy that. You know,
right.
And then I'd want to get the disc too. And I'm like, I don't know if I'd want to keep doing that. You know, so
yeah,
I'm not sure.
You know what's funny though? It's like when you don't have it. Now I've only had mine for a little over a month now. I'm already up to, I'm over 60 movies in. Mm-hmm. I've got on the thing. I'm like, oh my God, I got to stop. but when you don't have it, right? And you see them come out on the kaleidoscape, you want that. Like, oh my God, I could have
that. I would, DJ.
Right,
I would.
I know, I would. Right? But then, and I don't, I hate to say this because, but hey, we're all friends here. Everybody knows me enough that I can say this. You get kind of snobby once you have it, because now, like, I get the movie and I'm just like, that's the release date to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I, like, Uncharted came out. I had bought it early. I'm like, oh, there it is. It's great. But now when the release date comes out on disc, you're like, oh yeah, everybody's getting it now. Your reality has just adjusted. So unfortunately, it doesn't feel as special to get it as early. I forget, you know what I mean? Cause now it's just all relative, right? Mm-hmm. But when you don't get it, you're like, oh, I could have it already, but I don't. So I hate to say this. I would say, because of that reality, don't buy one for that reason.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Don't buy it for that reason, because that's one that, I'm not saying I'm disappointed, but that's one that eventually wears off fairly quickly. I've only had it a month and I'm already, I don't walk around going, I'm getting it early. I'm getting it. You forget that you're getting it early. It's not, it ceases to be a benefit. I'm trying to make it into a benefit. I'm trying to put it into the show to be able to be like, not for ratings, but to help people, like, hey, this is going to be a fun disc to listen to. This will be a fun, you know, when the disc does come out. And I did that with Spider-Man No Way Home, you know, and I haven't even seen Uncharted yet. I bought it. I was excited for it. And I'm like, oh, okay. I haven't had a chance. Because I'm watching Star Wars. I'm watching other things. You know,
that's what I was going to ask you about that, because I am excited for Uncharted. And I remember you said that you pre-ordered it, and I was wondering if you've seen it yet, because I wonder how it is, you know?
I know. I know. I keep saying I want to watch it, but then that came out, and what did I buy? I bought four movies the other day. Those Who Want Me Dead.
Okay.
I think that's the title of it, right? I bought that one. And then I bought, Doctor Strange, because I want to get ready for, you know, Multiverse of Madness. Yep. And then what else dropped? Oh, the other one, Ambulance dropped.
Yeah, what is that? I've seen a lot of hype on that movie. What is that movie?
Michael Bay. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's a okay, all right.
See?
So,
but you see,
it's a home theater movie. You got to watch it.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's what I tweeted. Yeah. I was like, I bought, and I said the reason for each of those three. And I was, I'm like, an ambulance because it's Michael Bay and I own a home theater. I'm like,
that's it. So
you know, and so I've heard that one there's over 2 hours long. So that one, I've already watched most of Doctor Strange. And see, the thing is for me right now, it's like these new movies, I'm very excited to watch, but I am having so much fun rewatching all of my stuff that I know, because I want to I want to see the difference. I want to experience it. I want to experience the benefits, much like when you upgrade your speakers. You don't go out and buy new music because it's something you don't know to hear on your new speakers. You want to hear all the old stuff. And that's kind of the rut. And rut's probably the wrong way to put it, because it's not a bad thing. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I'm spending more time in my theater now than I have in a long time. And that's a lot of time. But it's all older stuff. I love watching the older stuff that I know, because I want to re-experience it.
Can I tell you a story? As far as enjoying the theater a little bit more. So, my wife and I had a projector like 2015. It was an Epson 1080, 1080p. We thought it was really bright, so we ended up didn't really liking it very much. So when we moved to this house, we said we were just going to get a TV. So I got a 75-inch Sony, and it just never felt like a theater in here. And I just never used it, you know, probably for like 2 years. Then I went and found a used JVC 1080p, like for a fake 4K one, where like upscales or whatever.
Yeah.
The minute I got that DJ, I was in here 3 to 4 nights a week, I bet, watching movies. Mm-hmm. And I know once you kind of get into a movie, you don't really know if you have a projector or a TV or whatever, but with the lights on and a movie not playing, it just felt better, you know? And I just fell in love with it again. And I know some people really love their TVs and OLEDs are awesome and everything, but for me personally, that projector just made it feel like a theater to me, you know?
Yeah.
So ever since then, I'm in here all the time now. Yeah. You know?
There's definitely something to be said for that. I think it was Aaron Braden talked, it was a while ago, about the actual, something in your brain, the way the light reflects off the screen, as opposed to that's how our brains are geared. Okay. Mm-hmm. So everything, and I learned that, and that's why it kind of resonated with me when they started talking about it. And I never thought of it in this context, but when I went to school for art, I've told people, I'm like, that's what they teach you when you go to school for art, is how to see. It's basically what you're basically learning how to see the world and then duplicate that in an artistic way. Now, whether I was always the more, I love realism. I love to work in like hyper realism, try to do stuff, duplicate, like be a human Xerox machine for art. And, okay. It pains me when I can't get it to duplicate. And what's funny is in all of my training, it's like learning how to see the details to be able to duplicate that. But then it's trying to get your hand to move the right way to duplicate it and not be, it's very frustrating. But it's fun to see things that way. But in learning all this, you're learning how light works, right? How our eyes perceive the world around us by like, so, we all know, like, you know, a dark t-shirt is warm in the sun, right? But a light t-shirt is, cooler, right? So you wear a white t-shirt. That's how everything works. It's like, so that dark t-shirt is absorbing all of that light and it's only reflecting back what the color that you're seeing. Okay. But a white t-shirt is reflecting back the entire spectrum because that's white. You see what I mean?
Yeah. So yep.
Everything is based off of everything is being reflected. All right. We think of reflections like a mirror and stuff like that, but light is bouncing off of my shirt right now. And this is a black sweatshirt and all of the other colors are going into you on that spectrum, into that shirt. And the one color coming off going into our eyes is the black, right? Or absence of color, really, right?
Yep.
So, like I said, everything is based off of a reflection, not a projection. So when we watch a television, an OLED, that light is being projected at us. It's not a reflection. Whereas a projector is actually the reverse. We're actually seeing a reflection and not a projection. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There's just something. It's just different, you know? Yeah. And even though we've all said the quality is like in the new JVCs and the new Sonys, it's close to an OLED, you know, but it's not as good, but it just, I like it better, you know?
Right.
I just do.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's
maybe that's the reason. I don't know.
The reason it's close to it, they're getting projectors are getting closer. I don't think they'll ever get there because the limitations of having a screen, right? Having light reflecting off of a screen is gonna, your black levels just can't get as deep. But what an OLED can do is its contrast ratio. It's, you know, from its darkest dark to its brightest bright and what it can pull off. Projectors just can't do that. It's like you can get a projector to be as dark, but it's that higher end is going to be so light. It's going to be your brightness is going to be so toned down. And, you know, so actually, that's not true. I don't even think you can get a projector be as dark, but you can lower your floor, but you're going to also be lowering your ceiling. It comes down with it. But the other part that it's also an emotional thing. It's also like when you go to the theaters, that's what you see. You see a projected image. So when you sit in your theater, which we call them theaters, you're like, or a cinema, your home cinema, you're trying to duplicate what you did when you went to the theater. And they didn't have a giant OLED on the screen up on the wall. I mean, they had a projected image.
Don't they have those Samsung? They're going to be almost like gigantic TVs that, or at least I know a year ago or something, they were talk of something like that, a big mini LED. I don't know how I feel about that. You know,
here's the thing. I don't. How practical is that? Like,
I don't know.
I could.
It's gotta be so expensive.
Well, they have to go to the what do you call it? A modular design where you put a bunch of them together, right? So like when you go to, it's basically the same thing as when you go to a stadium, right? And you look up at the Jumbotron or whatever. That's a modular thing, but those, you see the pixels on those up close. They're literally like light bulbs because the images are so, but you're sitting hundreds of yards away. So it looks beautiful. They're getting down now that they can get really small. They can design a modular design and put it up there. I don't know. I feel like it's going to have to be like rock solid, like technology, because what happens if one of them goes out?
I don't know, say
you build a wall of, four up and, five across to get your image of these designs, or four and six, 4x6 screen, right? And so how many is that? 24? You've got 24 panels in there. And what happens if the one in the middle just blows out? Do you shut that theater down? Is it easy to pop in and out? Whereas when a projector goes, the projector goes, not just one piece of that image, right? So you're putting more you're putting more things in the chain that are going to create, in my opinion, can create more problems, because now all 24 have to be working in unison, just in this scenario here. So if one goes, well, now you can't just keep showing the movie.
Do you pause it and say you're welcome to stay at a discount, otherwise we'll
right, like, how was the movie? Well, I didn't see his eye for most of it because that left top left corner was missing. I was like, what? I don't know. It's like, so the modular designs, while it's a little bit easier to implement, but how reliable is that? Whereas a bulb goes on a projector. All right. Oh, sorry, everybody. If you're running a movie theater, you have a backup bulb, right? So you just install the bulb and you're off and running, or you have a backup projector if you're that fancy of a theater, whatever. I mean, it sounds expensive, but it's easy to implement. It's easier to implement than going, all right, everybody, we're going to take this screen out and we're going to pause the movie and we're going to pop in a new one. I don't know. It's smarter people than me will figure it out, I'm sure. But I hope for that for home. I think that would be cool in the home, but we still run into the same issue. But I think that would be cool in the home.
Yeah, they do have them. I mean, I know they're very expensive right now, and they do. They do look very cool. Do you think at some point projectors will die when that becomes affordable in the home? I kind of don't, because I do think that there's enough people that do like it, right. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I don't like anything else. So I don't know. I don't know if they died. It's like everybody always thinks of it as like a bad thing, right? Because we love our projectors right now. But like, I love my laser discs, and that died.
And we loved our plasma TVs, right? Until you get OLEDs, and you're like, oh, okay.
Right. I love my Sony Trinitron back in the day, my CRT TV, right? You loved it.
Very true.
But
I guess, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
Think of the formats that we've gone through. Like, I loved collecting my VHSs. I love collecting my... Now, those still stuck around, but I upgraded to a laser disc, right? But Laserdisc literally has died. I mean, they're not making them anymore. they made them for what, into the 2000s, but it's just all but dead, right? And it's a collector's item now. But nobody's like, wow, I wish we still had that. If we want it, it would still be here, right? So to me, it's like, I don't worry about projectors dying off because there will be a replacement. It's not like they're going to go away and we're going to have no way to watch our movies, right?
Yeah.
That's, we're going to have is a better alternative, right? And as much as you think like today that it's like, well, I prefer through a projector, so that's what I want. I don't ever want to see that go away. Well, as long as that is... that is the case, they will be around, like you said. They'll never die off as long as somebody wants them. They only die when nobody wants them, and that's not a bad thing, right?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So I just don't see it. It's very rare that something just goes away and then we're all left like, wait a minute, I liked that. Where did it go?
Can you
think of something like that? I can't think of something like that.
No, I can't. And I see like, because I like to shop for movies and stuff, like VHS is like really popular. Like people love VHS again for some reason. And I don't know about like home theater people, but people in general, I don't know if it's like the vintage feeling of it. I think that projectors will always have a place, even if it's used, just so you can have that projector home theater feeling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder if like just used ones will always have a place with people.
Yeah, I think the technology will get better too. Mm-hmm. I think because they're fighting to stay in business. They want to make money off of us, so they're gonna try to compete. And that's why, like when I said, I don't know if you saw my tweet, was it yesterday, about all the new Sony projectors, right?
Yeah, everything's laser right now. Everybody's going laser.
Yeah, and I love when Tom said that. Like he's like, I think the reason people like lasers is because it's laser. There's no advantage to, I mean, there is an advantage to laser. That's incorrect, but it's not in quality. It's in, there's advantages to it in longevity of life, which means it's going to deteriorate slower. Right. I like to replace my bulbs every year in my projector.
Oh, do you? Okay. Do you? Yeah. Okay.
And I find that if I do it every year, I barely notice the change. That's a good time to change your bulb. If you've let your bulb live too long and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, what a difference. Wow, you went too long.
It's like, okay, I gotcha. You know,
for a quality, for enjoying your movies, it's like, I mean, that's fun to do, to see how bad the bulb can get. That's all you're really doing. You're kind of diminishing your experience in your room by letting it die down, but that's all you do. It's like running on flat tires and then going, oh, I'll put air in them. Wow, these are great tires. Yeah, no crap. You got air in them now. So I like to replace that every year, but with a laser, you wouldn't have to do that.
No, that's true.
But if its lifespan is 10 years, what happens at 5? I'm sure it's diminished, right? It's not like it just goes...
Yeah.
It shuts off after 10 years. So I agree with Tom 100%. I think a lot of the laser stuff and like the longevity is unknown. It's like, cause we don't know how to replace them. They're super expensive to replace. I think they're more expensive and complicated than a bulb.
Right. It's probably a majority of the price of the projector, really. You know, I mean, I don't probably you just toss it away or what? I don't know.
Right. So the idea of a laser is like, what if you got to a point getting into a laser projector? To me is like, you have to guarantee that you'll be like, all right, I have to upgrade it within, or probably in 5 years. Yeah. If you know what I mean? Whereas my Sony right now, my bulb Sony right now, I don't have to do anything. I just get a new bulb. If I decided that I want, like, all of a sudden I lose my job, or something happens where I just don't have the income to put to my theater anymore, I know I still have that. I can still go buy a $350 bulb and still have my theater, right? Whereas you buy a laser, I feel like that's finite. Your projector has a finite life to it, you know, logistically. Like, you're just like, I don't know. It's like, it's just going to go. Then what happens when it goes? It's not an easy fix.
One thing I kind of wonder too, it seems like a lot of people that buy like the high-end JVCs or whatever, they always kind of want the latest and greatest, right? So how many of those people actually keep those projectors to make the laser worth it? You know, if you're only going to keep a projector for 3 years, like, why would you sell your like last generation JVC that had a bulb, you know, when you never, you know, you might have had to, let's just say you replaced three bulbs at $500 a piece. So you're $1,500. Well, the last JVCs, the mid-tier, were like $9,000 and the new one's like $16,000. You're never going to spend $9,000 in bulbs, you know, in that period. That's why there's a lot of people selling their old ones. And now that's how I got mine. Yeah. It just seems so silly to me. It just seems silly, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but there are advantages to the laser position-wise. The light source is bright enough that the further away you put it, a lot of times with a laser projector, like, you know, with a bulb, the further away you get, the dimmer the image gets. Lasers a little bit, you have less deterioration of the brightness the further away you get, a little bit there, which is, but that's all something that once you calibrate it, it's, that's relative, right? So like, I mean, if you want a brighter image with a bulb, just move it closer. That's all. That's what, if you, if you require a brighter image, what's other than that, it's supposedly some, there's some color accuracy, but I've also heard that there's some issues with lasers that don't, that bulb projectors don't have with color. There's, I mean, it's great technology, right?
And it is.
What I like about the Sonys, the new Sonys that are coming out, are they're pushing it. They're pushing JVC now. It's like up until now, there was, you either chose JVC or Sony, and there was a clear delineation like on why you were doing it, right? So it was like, well, I like the Sonys because of, like, I liked the color accuracy. I like this. And I get a lot of pushback from people, and the JVC people like, they're just as accurate. I'm like, okay, all right. Fine, but
take it easy.
Right, I get it. They're very accurate. They're both great projectors. I'm middle of the road. I wanted a JVC for the longest time, and then I was, my projector guy, as everybody knows, was like, you, this, if you want the most accurate, blah, 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 don't argue with me, people. But that's right, why I went with that. And I have just as many people come back to me and say, nope, I love my Sony, I love this, I love that, but okay, that's fine. But now, of course, the reviews aren't out yet. People don't know. I don't know what kind of tone mapping these new Sonys have. We don't know all of the details yet. But at first blush, it looks like they are going head-to-head with the JVC to make it that much harder of a decision for the buyer. The black levels are supposed to be that good. The brightness is there. Their laser, they hit all the boxes that people shopping right now are looking for. Like, I want the latest and greatest. Well, JVC was it. Now, if Sony comes to the table and they have, like, if you could say that these are equal, holy crap. That's awesome, because that pushes the market now. And that's why I like it. It's not because it's Sony. I was considering buying my next one to be a JVC because I want that black level that I don't get. I know I don't have the same black level with the Sony. It's close, but it's not there. And I kind of desire that. And I was going to maybe sacrifice and tell my projector guy, I kind of want to go with the JVC. And he loves the JVCs too, right? But now that decision, it makes it that hard, much harder. If the consumer has a hard decision to make, that means that the market is working. That means that they're pushing. And that means we're on the cusp of getting something even better, because now somebody on either side is going to have to push you to, they got to do something to get you to buy their product. And so what's next year going to be like for JVC, right?
I don't know. One thing I saw in the Sonys though, isn't their entry point like $5,000, I think, into the new laser ones?
The new 6,000, which is great entry
point. Yeah, and JVC's is 10. So that's $4,000. So I think that's huge for Sony, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, it's still a lot of money, but it's an amount that people that like this hobby can probably, you know, afford with a little savings or whatever. But, you know, six just seems so much less than 10 to me, you know.
And they, I think Sony did a really good job at marketing here, because their marketing started with that, what is it, the 830 GZ, whatever it is, their $80,000 projector, right?
They did, yep.
So they marketed the bejesus out of that thing and was like, but now this is what's interesting to me, and in the home theater world or any world, any marketing world. So they marketed that, and people like us were like, well, I could never afford that, blah, blah, blah. But they marketed it at the processors, this, that, and the other thing, and it can do so much. And it, and they told you how great the processor was in that.
Yeah.
Knowing full well, they just didn't invent these three projectors last week and said, hey, let's ship them out now. They have a marketing plan that goes back 5-10 years, right? They're like, we know, like Apple, they know the next three products before we're getting the next one, right? So they know what they're doing. So they're marketing this chip, and now all of a sudden, all those demos that people saw on that $80,000 projector, and I could never afford this, and blah, blah, blah. But guess what? All these three projectors, they got that chip in it. And they've been telling, now everybody's like, oh, I'm getting the same chip. That's like buying the, you know, I'm getting the Camaro SS because it has the same information, the same piece of whatever of the engine that the Corvette had, right? It's the trickle down effect. And we're getting all that. What do the JVCs have in them? Oh, I don't know. Do they have an $80,000 projector that they put their chip from? I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that's not as good. I'm saying marketing wise, that's how to push the consumer. That's how to, you'd be like, that $6,000 Sony, it is raw. It is, you know, there's no, you know, it's all manual adjustments for the lens shift. It's all, the focus is all manual. I would have to, the one I have now, I can do it with the remote. I can sit at my, focus, boom, boom. Everything's great. But to get you to that $6,000 price point, they went bare bones. We just want to give you a great processor, laser image, boom. But you're going to have to do this manually.
Yeah.
That's a trade-off. But they got you in the door, you know?
Yep.
So I love it. I think it's great. I think it's pushing the market. That's why I love it. You know, I still don't know which one I'm going to buy when I buy one. But if I buy one, it's like, my projector guy, I don't think will let me. I'll just have to buy it and then tell him to come over and calibrate it, and he'll be like, "Okay." But
so when you do change out your bulb, do you have your projector guy come out and calibrate it, or do you just use the same settings?
Nope, I have him come out and calibrate it. I usually have him come out about once a year to calibrate. Since I've, especially with the Sony, even the one before that, I did that. But I'll run the bulb for like a couple weeks and then have him come back out. The last time I just changed it right before I got the Lumigen, and then he was out to put in the Lumigen. So that's why I had the bulb. I always, when I install a bulb, I buy a bulb. So I always have the backup sitting there waiting, because you never know if it goes plunk. You know, and it's, I mean, it's literally a 15-minute change. So I could be watching a football game with my buddies and have a bulb go and be like, all right, hang on, let me rip it down and throw it back up and reposition the projector later. But I could get the, at least be 15 minutes away from a correction, you know?
So, yep. But all righty. So I have a question for you. What's, you love both of these things. In the last year, what's your favorite upgrade, the Kaleidoscape or the Lumigen? If you had to get rid of one and you could keep one, which one are you keeping?
Lumigen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hate to say it, because I love the Kaleidoscape. It's something I've dreamed of since I heard about them. But what the Lumigen does for all of my content, okay? So, Rob's right in that, like, the JVCs have great tone mapping and they do a good job with this and that and the other things. And I've actually talked to people that told me I don't need my Lumigen with the Sony, especially since getting the Kaleidoscope, because you could dial that thing in to look perfect on the Kaleidoscope. Like, okay. But when you go between your streaming sources and you go from a disc and you go from the Kaleidoscope and you go, what the Lumigen does is it literally smooths all, or you go from HDR content to SDR content. Okay. So what the Lumigen does for me, and I'm only using one aspect of the thing, and that's the tone mapping, the basically optimizing the image for the project. It took the brains out of the projector and put it into the Lumigen. My projector, it's a dummy projector right now. It's doing what it was told to do by the Lumigen. And I put an SDR image into that, and it gives me the best possible SDR image that I can get. And then I can put an HDR image into it, and I'm getting the best possible HDR image I can get, all through the same input, everything. Whereas before, I used to have to, one, my HDR image wasn't as good just through the Sony. And two, if I had an SDR image, I had to change my settings. So I had, I have film one, I had reference for HDR, and then I had film one set for SDR, and you would notice the difference. If you weren't on the right setting, it didn't look as good. And either way, going back and forth, Lumigen, it's all gone. Everything, the projector, just the only time it changes settings is when my son plays, it goes into game mode. I put the projector in when he plays video games. Okay. Other than that, everything's set for reference, and I have a beautiful image going from SDR through the Apple TV, the crappiest TV show you wanted to watch. Not that I watch a lot of crappy content, but it just smooths everything out. So it makes everything so much more consistent. And like I've said in the podcast, like, somebody mentioned to me, DM me or something, like when I was talking about, The Day After Tomorrow, and that scene when they go into the fireplace towards the end, and I'm like, this actually looks like HDR to me. Somebody DM'd me like, yeah, of course it does, you dummy. He's like, you got a Lumigen running in the middle. It's going to upconvert the upconversion that you're getting. I didn't even think of that, but there's possibilities there. There are images that I'm seeing that are just gorgeous, and it's not necessary. It's all from different content, all from different places. And I think I owe all that to the Lumigen, in my opinion. So, if I had to get rid of one, it would be the Kaleidoscope, because that's only one thing that I watch. And I do watch a ton of it right now, and I love watching my movies through it. But that's just one piece, you know? So how about you?
I see.
What's your favorite piece? What's been your favorite upgrade that you've, like, what pops in your head?
I'm definitely more audio than video, like 100%. But I did just get a JVC NX7, and it's awesome. I just love it. I think that's my favorite thing that I've done in a long time. It kind of completes it, you know?
Yeah.
I think I would rather have a small TV and great surround sound than the projector and soundbar. But
I don't think I've ever seen that setup. It has to exist. There has to be a,
well, if you want a laugh DJ, like every once, like if you want, you go on Zillow or something like that, and you can look at like houses for sale. There's people with projectors, and they'll have soundbars mounted underneath projector screens. It just makes me laugh every single time I see it. It's like the husband really wanted a theater, but the wife's like, yeah, but you can't have all those speakers around here, so we're just gonna stick that little guy underneath that 100-inch screen or whatever, So I think it probably happens more than we think it does.
Well, that's why. Yep. But they're not in our circle, because if they were in our circle, yep. You know what I mean? Not in this circle. I mean, not in a home theater circle. They'd be like,
Okay, I got one more dang story for a DJ. And this one, so this is so crazy to me. So we sold the house in 2015. The people that bought it, the husband said he didn't like the house, but I was going to leave all the home theater stuff in there. We had a pull-down screen, Have you ever, do you remember the, there was an old company called AV123. I know Tom hates them. They were out of Denver or something. I don't know. But their stuff was actually pretty good, but the owner was kind of sketchy. But I left all that. The owner, I mean, the guy wanted me to keep all the stuff, so we did. A couple months later, I'm looking on Facebook, and there's some guy that's just like, man, I went on OfferUp, and I found this home theater set up for like $200. And I'm looking at it, and it's exactly what I sold. I'm like, what in the world? Turns out, so I messaged him. I was like, this is so random. But did you buy this from Loves Park, Illinois? And he's like, yeah, I just did. I just picked this stuff up. The lady answered the door, says she's tired of vacuuming around these speakers and just wants to get rid of them. I'm like, are you kidding me? So there are wives like that, that even though the husband loved it, didn't want all that stuff in her living room and just sold it. $200 for everything. 2 15-inch subs, like 7 speakers, and but let him keep the projector. So I guess that's a real thing, because that guy was proof of it. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Honestly, yeah, next week's Mother's Day. It's, you know, a lot of us have wives that are mothers to our kids, but anybody listening to this podcast, we all have, you know, our significant others are just fantastic, because we wouldn't be listening to this podcast if it wasn't for being up. I hate the idea. I hate this for anybody, but I hate the idea that it's like, imagine somebody not allowing you to do something.
I know. Something that you love so much.
Right.
Like we do. We love this hobby so much. And I wouldn't expect her to have it in our living room, although she probably would let me, you know, but like,
I had one in my living room, but she knew someday I wanted a dedicated room.
Yeah.
But I think if I didn't have a dedicated room, I know I would still have something in the living room, and she would allow it. But to be fair though, it is a two-way street. Like, I think the reason my wife is so great, it's we're great together. Right. Like, yep, I don't think I could stand to be with somebody that didn't allow me to do stuff. I'm like, wait, what? I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and you figure that out before you ask them to marry you.
Yes. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But like, I'm like, hey, you know, it's like, but yeah, I'm lucky. We're all lucky that we get to share it with somebody, really. It's like, I mean, but yeah, it's like, I can't even imagine being with somebody that would be like, no. No, I'm selling them. What? Wait, what?
Can we talk about this?
Yeah, it's like, I'm like, well, then I'm selling you.
Oh, Lordy.
You know, I'm like, wait a minute. But I think, and there's things I wouldn't do for fear of losing my wife, right? I don't want her to be mad at me. And I'm sure she wouldn't up and sell all my stuff. I mean, she bought my last set of speakers, actually. She saw them on Amazon. I had them in the cart, and I was pondering upgrading my front channels, and so she did it for Christmas. I was like, all right, so see, instead of actually selling the mummy, she bought me some. So
yes, there you go. Yep. But yeah, we're very lucky, man. We're very lucky to have the ladies we do, you know.
Yes, we are. So what are you watching? We'll wrap this up with, what are you watching lately? What movie are you looking forward to, or you've just really enjoyed in your theater?
Okay. Well, I want to see Uncharted. I'll buy that when it comes out. This morning I watched, have you ever seen the movie, Logan Lucky? It's kind of like, a bank robbery type movie. Yeah. It's got Daniel Craig. Mm-hmm. It's actually got quite a few good people. I thought it was going to be completely silly, but it's good. It's well, home theater wise, it's worth watching. So I would throw that out to people if they want to see that. Excellent. It's called Logan Lucky. Yep.
And I've heard about that one. I heard, I feel like I did see it a long time. When did it come out?
Maybe 3-4 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. I feel like I did, but I don't remember it. So maybe I didn't see it, but I have heard people talk about it, and that it's a good home theater movie. Little Six Underground-ish. Is that the case? Maybe
Did I no maybe something? Not that it's got, well, Scott, Daniel Craig, Adam Driver from the new Star Wars movies, Channing Tatum. It's, no, it's kind of like they're hillbilly-ish, you know, and, they need money. So they need to find a way to get some money, you know?
Okay.
And, that's all I'll really say about it, but I would say watch it. It's good, you know?
Definitely watch it. All right.
Yeah, I would say so. And then, of course, we got our tickets for Doctor Strange next week. So that's what I'm really looking forward to the most, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I'm looking for, that's why I wanted to watch the original Doctor Strange, get caught up, see if there's any, it's fun to backtrack a little bit and see, you know, it's easier to pick up Easter eggs in the new one. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I got my tickets for Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah. We're going Saturday because of schedule conflict, but yeah. Saturday morning we're going to go see. Yep.
I was just thinking that about, remember when Infinity War came out at the end of April in 2018 and then Endgame obviously was in 19.
Yep.
When Infinity War came out, I had every year, we were going up to Montreal for a hockey tournament at that time of year. And typically the big blockbusters come out in the first weekend of May, right?
Right.
Which is what Doctor Strange is doing. Yep. I'm pretty sure it was Infinity War was one of the first, if not the first one, to bump it up into April, to be that last weekend in April. And that's when we were up. I was not able to see Infinity War until Sunday night. We would drive home from Montreal, and I got home at like, it was like a 6-hour drive or whatever, but I get home after a weekend of hockey and basically being a hockey player in Montreal. It's a lot of hockey and drinking.
Yes.
Get home from Montreal and be like, I gotta get to the theater. And it's like, I saw it at 9 o'clock on Sunday night, and I'm like, trying to avoid Twitter, trying to avoid everything from Thursday to Sunday. I was like, that was a tough. I almost didn't go on the trip. I almost took that year off because I didn't want to miss I didn't want to wait to see the movie, but I ended up going. We had a great time and then came home and saw it. But somebody put it out the other day. It was like on this day in 2018, whenever, I think it was the 26th or something, Infinity War landed. I was like, and I wasn't able to see it on time. I had to wait.
Oh, look. Did you, when you saw Endgame, have you seen the viral video where somebody must be like filming inside of Endgame and there's the scene with Cap gets the hammer, you know, and the whole crowd's going crazy?
Yeah.
Was it like that when you saw it?
Yes. Absolutely.
That's how it was for me too.
Absolutely.
Like people were standing up and going, like the whole movie, people were just going crazy. It was a lot of fun, I thought, you know?
Yes.
So like be part of that.
Yeah. I recently just watched Age of Ultron again. Okay.
Oh, okay.
And they end that movie with that tease. When, if you remember, he walks in with Scarlett Johansson. He walks in, and that was where they started to get all the new Avengers together. And you had Vision there. You had Falcon, Wanda.
Yep.
I think that was it. Maybe there was an... Iron... what's his name?
War Machine, or whatever.
War Machine, right. So they're all in the room, and they end the movie with Chris Evans going, Avengers, and he opens
it
and then the screen goes. So they had been teasing that since I think the first Avengers movie, talking about him saying assemble. So when he finally did say Avengers assemble, it was like, I think the hammer was a cheer. And if I remember, I know I got choked up when he said Avengers assemble, you know, because it was also emotional with everybody on your left. That was super emotional in the theater.
It sure was. Yeah.
And you were like,
goosebumps.
Oh, yeah. It's still to this day. It's like when you see it, it was like that. And it was, I honestly don't know. Which one do you think is bigger? Do you think the Spider-Man No Way Home moments or Avengers Assemble?
I would say that we saw Endgame. It was like the very first showing. It was like some Marvel fan event or whatever. So I think maybe we had more diehards. When we saw Spider-Man, it was like Saturday afternoon. And I don't think it was the same people were watching the movie with us, you know.
That's a shame.
Yeah, and I think it was the ending of 23 movies, and there was so much, and I love Spider-Man, but it's just that, maybe to me, it just wasn't the same. You know what I mean? I thought it was really cool, but it wasn't the same emotion as watching all those movies and building up to that part, you know?
To that moment, yeah.
I
want to say, I might be recency biased, but I think the reactions in the room for Spider-Man No Way Home were pretty big.
But yeah,
I think I agree with you in that Endgame, I think it's easier also for everybody to be like-minded, because at the end of Endgame, very few people went and saw Endgame that hadn't seen most of all of the previous movies, right?
Yep.
But in Spider-Man No Way Home, there's a lot, I would be willing to bet maybe as high as 50% of the people are like, who, I didn't really get into the Tobey Maguire's yet. I
totally agree. Yep.
Just because it's a younger crowd and they're just coming into it now, and those aren't part of, they're being brought into the Marvel universe, kind of, right?
Yep.
So there's a chance that a lot of those people are like, oh yeah, I remember he was in that, but it wasn't emotional to them. Whereas for somebody like myself, the Tobey Maguire is like, that was just going to see that the first time in the theater was emotional for me, because we never had that growing up. We never had a Spider-Man in the theater. So that was a big deal, you know?
No.
But yeah, I think Endgame was everybody in the theater was like-minded, and the theaters were more packed too, because you just could fit more people because you didn't have COVID restrictions. So
true. Yeah. So I think, because I know Star Wars is definitely your go-to movie and scene, mine is that Endgame scene where right before they says to the left, when I need to just sit down and just want to see something, I think that's my scene, man.
Yeah.
You know, I can just watch it over and over and over.
Yeah. It was when I did the podcast with Rich Keefe, and I said, pick a few scenes we'll go over that you've been, you know, really experiencing in your new surround sound theater. That was one of the scenes, the end of Endgame. And I was like, he didn't give me a timestamp. He just said like the final scene, the battle. And I was like, like an hour long when you back up.
And that's what you don't think about. You're like, this is 15, 20 minutes. It's like an hour still left in the movie when that starts.
Yep. Right. Because it starts if you start it when the rocket comes into the compound, and then, you know, they get trapped underneath, Ant-Man goes in and saves them under the ground, and now we've got to get the gauntlet out of there, because Barton's got the gauntlet, and I mean, there's so much in that. And then you had Thor, Iron Man, Cap. You have that scene. It's just a beautifully shot scene as well. There's so much to see. There's, I mean, just that scene is like a movie unto itself that you just sit down.
It totally is.
And you can't just pick one part. If you start at the beginning, you're just like, all right, I'm here. We're not going to dinner yet. I got to finish this. You know,
totally.
It is. It's a great, great scene, and great colors. Great. I mean, the HDI, it's so good. So good, and it's
so good.
It's fun to go back and forth too. The IMAX enhanced, it looks fantastic on Disney Plus.
I know, you know, man. I sure hope they don't do well. I guess I do hope they do, but they released the discs with that. I'm buying everyone. You know, I'll buy everyone again.
I know, I know.
It's kind of a blessing and a curse, man. If they do.
I know, I know. It's like it's funny. That's the thing on Kaleidoscape. They don't have IMAX enhanced. They have everything's the, you know, 240. The Dark Knight is all 240, no aspect ratio change.
Wow, that's different for that movie for sure.
It is, and I kind of like it. I do. I kind of like it because I put my masking up, so I love the immersion I get with the masking. It's manual. I just pop it in, but I love that immersion. So when you have a movie like The Dark Knight that has variable, you're like somebody like with a projector, I'm sure even on your JVC, those black bars, they're not velvet black, right?
Nope.
So
they're not. Nope.
You're like, oh, it's like when you have variable, you're like, could you pick one? Cause I could just put my bars in or not have bars. Like, that's one of the reasons I like the first Avengers movie. takes up the whole screen, right? And it looks fantastic. The whole, it's great. But yeah, watching The Dark Knight in just a standard, you know, CinemaScope screen, I like it. I really do. I like it a lot. I didn't think I would, but I surprised myself. I'm like, because
would you consider going to a CinemaScope screen as a, because you have 16:9 now,
never.
Okay, yeah, so do I.
I've toyed with it. I can see both sides of it. But I really just think that, like, when you do go, the problem, and my buddy Todd, who's become my buddy, really, Todd Anderson, he's a big CinemaScope guy, and he loves going to the wide screen, and that's fine. And there's a million ways to build a theater, and we all have our preferences. But to me, it's when I go to an IMAX enhanced, or I go to the larger screen, those screens are meant to be taller than CinemaScope. CinemaScope's meant to give you that wider feel, right? So that's what that does. Like when you're watching Lord of the Rings and you get those great shots, it's meant to be expansive to the sides. But then when you watch a taller image, like these superhero movies, or like what Zack Snyder did with Justice League, and actually went even like 4:3, it gives you that taller image. That's what I want. So when I take my bars out and I go to an IMAX enhanced, if you went to CinemaScope, your screen gets smaller. So that to me is like, it's supposed to be getting taller when I go to IMAX enhanced, not narrower. Right. And that's, I think you're losing that immersion that you're supposed to be getting with IMAX enhanced, or even a taller screen. It's, you know, a 16:9 screen is supposed to be taller than a CinemaScope screen. And so I honestly think it'll be I'll never say never, but I really don't think I'd ever get a CinemaScope screen.
I don't think I will either. I thought about it, and then I always just say, no, I'm just not gonna.
Well, you think about it, because most content is in a CinemaScope format, 235, 239, 240, whatever it is, right? It's all very close. I have my black bars, and I don't change it for 235, 240, it's all the same. It's ballparked right into there, and it's going to look fine. Most content is at that, but that doesn't mean that you should have, to me, that doesn't mean you should just do that and then sacrifice when you do need your full screen, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I was like, yes, I think most content is in a CinemaScope format, but for the limited content that, and I do think it's limited, it's probably like 10% is most, I'd say it's 90-10 maybe. Maybe I'm wrong.
It might even be more than 90. Yeah.
But it's for that 10% that's supposed to be taller. I want it taller.
Me too.
You know, one way or the other, you're gonna have black bars, right? You're not getting rid of them, but and I think in my room, I could go wider, but then I would have to go, I'd have to go acoustically transparent, and I don't want to do that. So I'm as wide as I can go, and I think most people, when you build your room, you're as wide as you can. You go as wide as you can go, right? So don't you already have CinemaScope? So if right? So if you go as wide as you can in your room, you already have CinemaScope. But by buying a CinemaScope screen, you're actually chopping off the top of your 16:9 screen.
You're buying less screen.
Because it's like, you know what I mean? I said that to Todd. I'm like, he sent me a picture. This was months ago when he got his CinemaScope screen. And I was like, but why didn't you buy the pieces that go above it? You know what I mean? Like, he bought it as wide as it'll go in your room, but now you have space above and below it for more screen, but you didn't buy that. That's what I think you're doing when you buy CinemaScope. And you know what I mean?
And it's kind of weird because mine's a silver ticket, and like, the almost equivalent 16:9 is actually cheaper than even though you're getting less screen material. It's kind of strange that it's like they almost upcharge you because you want to like have the widescreen format, you know?
Right.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, if you go by width of screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a CinemaScope screen when I put my black bars in the top and the bottom. That's a CinemaScope screen, right? So if I bought a CinemaScope screen for that width to fit there so that my speakers would be on the side, then guess what? That CinemaScope screen would just be shorter. It would be exactly what I already have.
Yeah. Right? So you have 120, right? In 16 by 9?
110.
110. So do you know what, like, when you put your masking up, do you know, like, what your image size is? Is it probably 100 or something like that, maybe?
I've never measured. I should. It's probably
something like that.
Yeah, it's probably.
But it's kind of funny. The companies, like, so you're 110, they'll charge, I don't know, let's say $400 for that screen. You go to the CinemaScope, sometimes they'll charge you, like, for the 100 CinemaScope, it's like $100 more. It doesn't make any sense.
But the same width.
But they do.
It's still the same width. It's same just width, shorter.
Yeah.
It's just shorter. Yeah. So
it's less screen.
Yeah. I will say that I did say to Todd at one point, like a month or so ago, that I was considering CinemaScope. I was like, there's so much, like, especially with a Kaleidoscape where majority of it is 240. And you're like, everything through that is 240. But like when you asked me which one I would get rid of, the Lumigen or the Kaleidoscape, it's like, but not everything I watch is through the Kaleidoscape, right? And it's like, you get so enamored with just that. Now, in Todd's case, or people that do go CinemaScope, I think they watch, if all you ever do is watch CinemaScope and watch movies, then I can totally see, because I flip back and forth. Like Rob wants, he actually wants to make his television viewing even smaller, like inside a 16 by 9, he wants a smaller 16 by 9. Like he wants masking on all four sides when he watches television because, and I completely agree with his line of thinking. I don't know if I'd execute what he wants to do, but he would mask out all four sides to give you a 65 inch television in the middle of his giant, like, TV, his giant screen. Because television viewing is supposed to be smaller, right? So then when you go to CinemaScope, you pop the sides out, and then you got, wow, that's expansive. Then when you go to IMAX, you go from that little television that you were watching, which is probably a 70-inch television in the middle of your, say, 110-inch screen, then you pop out all the bars, and you go, wow, that's an IMAX. So it's enabling him to have all of those. You see what I mean? Like, that's what he would, I don't think he's doing it, but that's what he would want. And I get that. I understand that line of thinking, but for me, I don't watch television in my theater. I go upstairs and watch it. Like if it's just regular TV, if I'm watching like television, I don't come down and watch Big Bang Theory in my theater. Right. I don't watch my sitcoms in my theater. Theater is for theater viewing. I think people with CinemaScopes probably do like, that's real, like, that's all they do is complete theater viewing. Maybe they don't even do a lot of streaming. They don't do, so they just have a static aspect ratio and they're fine with that. So I guess, but I watch too much stuff.
can we talk about Rob for a minute? Because we all love Rob. He's like smartest dude.
Probably as long as it's good.
Like, I have, you know what? This just came into my brain and I'm going to say it. So I think I have a conspiracy theory, you know, like in every episode, we get a Gary question every episode of AV Grant, don't we? What if Rob was actually Gary? Because all of Gary's questions are super crazy and super smart and way out there. What if Rob like asked those questions to be able to answer them? That's my conspiracy theory. I'm going to throw out there now, DJ.
So
I think Gary is really Rob.
I can assure you to the best of my ability, that is not the case. I know both of them very well. But I, to be honest with you, Gary's a listener to my show.
Okay.
He hasn't been on the show. Infinite Gary hasn't been on my show yet. I would love to get him on. I converse.
I would love that too.
I've mentioned him on the show, but he has a different name on my show. So, and it's a running kind of joke. Okay.
Okay.
There's actually, I think there is an Easter egg within my show on who Infinite Gary is on my show. Rob was, and Rob was the one that said it, cause I didn't know it at the time, but I've since, obviously I've come to learn it. Rob's the one that told me, because I know. So I have great conversations with Infinite Gary. I've had actually people, it's funny because I've had people mention to me like on AV Rant, because they bust on him so much, because he has great questions. He does.
They are great questions.
I think he's a lot like you with speakers and stuff, and like he loves to tinker. He loves to do stuff like that. I had a listener ask me, DM me once, and like something about Infinite Gary, and I'm like, I can't remember if he came off as not being like not a great guy or something off of the AV Rant show or something like that. And I was like, no, he's an absolutely great guy. It was like, I can't remember what it was, but they are two separate people. Unless I've never spoken to Infinite Gary on the phone. So I've only emails, maybe DMs and stuff, but it's always, so unless Rob was actually emailing me all these things, but I doubt it. Rob doesn't have that.
No, me too. I'm probably 99% sure it's not, but it's kind of funny.
I know. But he does. He has great questions. He has a lot of knowledge. Yep. He has a great theater. I've seen his theater. But yeah, I would love to get Infinite Gary on the show. The only way I'll release who it is if he comes on the show. And then I would tell everybody.
And I love when Lee substitutes, and when he sees that Infinite Gary question coming up, it just makes me laugh every time.
Yeah.
Because Lee knows we got a good one coming, you know?
Yeah.
Have you had Lee on your show yet? I think that would be pretty good too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Lee's been on a couple times.
Yeah, I can't remember. Okay.
We did, well, obviously he's on when we do the Thanksgiving show. Yeah. I was just talking to Lee yesterday. I was just talking with him. We were talking through text yesterday. Mm-hmm. He said something. What the hell was it that he said? I was mowing the lawn. I was listening to AV Rant, and subtitles. That's what it was. And he said, it was so funny. He said he hates subtitles. He'd rather watch dubbed because he can't. It takes him out of the movie to read the subtitles. So him and I had a great, we were laughing. We were just like busting on people that like, well, you gotta watch it with the subtitles because you have to listen to it in the native language to really get the nuance of the movie. And I'm like, him and I are laughing like, what nuance? You're reading.
Yeah, no kidding. Right.
Right. And you don't even understand what they're saying. Otherwise you wouldn't be reading in the first place. Why do you need subtitles? Because you don't know what they're saying. So what nuances are you picking up, right? So
exactly. Wow.
But I had one better that I told him. I go, my favorite is when people have told me to watch Japanese animation with the subtitles because the acting is better. It's all dubbed, you donkey.
Yeah, right.
It's Japanese animation. It's all voice actors. And it's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, it matches up better. And then somebody once told me, well, something is lost in the translation, in the English translation on the dub. What the hell do you think you're reading?
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're reading the English translation.
You're reading the script that the guy dubbed it is reading. I'm like, what are you? Oh my God. I'm like, but people have been, and I would say like they're like pretentious like that. And that's like, well, you gotta to experience the finer points of it. You're not understanding it, right? But I did tell him, and it was funny because all of this is getting exposed, me and Lee's conversation. But he said, he goes, did these people read the Bible in Hebrew? And I said, and that triggered something for me. I'm like, I had two friends that I worked with at SEAL Test in the factory. Two friends, one learned Hebrew so that he could read the Bible in its original form, right? Okay. And another friend went to night school to learn Japanese so he could watch his Japanese animation in its native language. And I'm like, that I have respect for. And neither of those people told me that I needed to do what they did, or I would lose by watching it and dubbed, or, you know what I mean? They weren't in that. These are people that actually were doing the work to take in that content the way that it was meant to be in its native language. And they weren't pretentious to anybody else to say, well, you need to do what I'm doing, or you should watch it this way. It's like, no, watch it however you want to watch. And that's
exactly.
And it's like, and that's why it came up, is that it's like, hey, I like dub too, because I hate reading. It takes me, I like to see the faces. I like to watch the cinema part of the cinema experience. Yeah. Like, I want to watch the screen, not read a book. And that's exactly that's what we were saying. So, but yeah, so yeah, Lee's been on. Lee will be on again. Lee's a great guy.
I thought I remembered that, but boy, you have had a lot. Because are you on episode 70 or something like that? What number episode are you on?
Hang on here.
After that many, you kind of forget some. I think I've listened to most of them or all of them, but I just didn't remember that.
100. So you are right now. This will be episode 172.
Oh yeah. Okay. 170. Sorry. Yeah.
172.
So. Okay. 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 170. Yes. Yeah,
yep. Yeah. So I went on Nerdy Legion, and that's how I find out my numbers. I'm like, oh, okay. It says Brightside Home Theater has released 171 episodes since launching on October 10th, 2019.
Oh, so yeah. And now that you're doing two a week, yeah, it's just going to keep climbing, you know?
Yeah. Two a week. And now I'm always thinking of something, and like, I was thinking of putting out some quick review, like 5-minute reviews of movies, like Uncharted stuff. Like if I get to see, just do a quick review for people. But I was thinking of doing that on YouTube, but I'm like, oh, what the hell? My listeners, I could do put out a 5-minute podcast too, just a quick blurb. And that would drop at, there's no schedule. It would just, when I do one. So I might add those in too. So. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Your first one of these listener podcasts, how did that come about? Were you talking to somebody and asked if they'd come on, or did you have that idea that just bring on listeners and ask somebody first?
All right. I had this idea middle of last year, and I'd been probably last summer, almost a year ago, I came up with the idea that I would love to have you guys on. I would love to get the listeners in, because I had such great feedback in every other way, right? I was trying to develop through Twitter and just the conversations. That's what I wanted to do. But what was ended up happening was it was all creating more work for myself. It was harder to keep up with people in all the different formats. And that's why I kind of stuck with Twitter. But even that can get daunting at times. And because now, like, you go into your notifications and be like, boom, 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 and everybody, I'm like, I'm missing tweets. I'm missing this. And so I was like, I want to get you guys on to have real conversations like this. And like I've said on the podcast before, I'm like, I'm kind of trying to mirror myself after like a Joe Rogan of podcasting, right? Like, we just have fun and two people hang out and talk. And it was more about the logistics of getting us together like this and being able to make it simple for people. And so once I ironed all that out, I knew I wanted to do that this year. And what was funny is BJ Horton, who was on my podcast, he asked me if he could come on last fall.
Oh, okay.
And I think I mentioned it in the podcast, but he asked me and I was like, BJ, already in the works, and absolutely my man, you'll be on. It's like and I also, the last thing I wanted to work it out, but at the same time work out the details of being able to make it simple enough. But there's also a little doubt in you too. You're like, you don't want to put something out and be like, crickets.
right. Yeah. And I think being on this side, I bet you most of us have been with you. I've been afraid. I was like, man, what if like there's no chemistry? I like DJ, but what if we get to a point within 30 minutes and we don't have anything to talk about? Then what would happen? You know, obviously that didn't happen. We're on like what, 2.5 hours, but yeah.
Yeah, we're going. Yeah, what are we at? But 2:33. Yeah, 2:33 on the timer now.
I did worry that. I wonder if a lot of guys have worried that, you know?
No, that's the thing is people, I had, he's coming on, I guess I can release it. But Mike Schramm, he's going to be on, and he said I called him out, but I don't remember calling him out as not. But we featured his theater. He's the most recent theater on HT Tours, right?
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And it was funny because I was waiting for Ara to join us on this, because this is where we do HT Tours. Only I just hit the record button here. And we were waiting for Ara, so we were just having a conversation like anybody would, right? Like, all right, we'll wait for Ara to join us and blah, blah, blah. And we started talking about our theaters. We had a great, Mike and I had a great conversation. Mm-hmm. So afterwards, I'm like, Mike, you should totally come on Take Over Tuesdays. And he's like, no, I don't think I'm interesting enough. I'm like, we had a great conversation.
Yeah, right.
I get it. Because like I said, I'm like, I've been on that side. I know. I'm like, I get nervous and I'm like, but the thing is, I had somebody else reach out to, I can't remember who it was. I'm like, they said they wanted to be on and they're like, hopefully we have enough to talk about. And I'm like, as you know, being on with me, it's like, I mm-hmm. could do the 2 hours. Yep. You could, you know, it's like, so it's like, everybody has been awesome. Everybody has been different. I think mm-hmm. that's what's fun. I mean, we're all the same yeah. to a degree, but I think yep. We're all like-minded in home theater, but everybody has been, it maybe sometimes some shows, it takes a little bit more to warm up. But I think the other part is like, you notice when we started here, it's like, I just mm-hmm. hit the record. I barely even told you, we're just talking. We were talking yep. and I'm just hitting the record. And I think changing that format, it makes it easier for everybody too, because it's like, if I had to say, all right, now imagine you get on this morning when we first started and I said, okay, mm-hmm. all right, we're going to do this and then we'll just start talking, but I'll do my open and then we'll come right into this. Okay. All right. Here we go. Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to Bright Side Home Theater Podcast. And now all of a sudden you get butterflies on your end. You're like,
yeah, right.
We're on. Oh no. And it's like, hey, John, how are you doing? And you go, good. That's the awkwardness, right?
Yep.
So that's why I eliminated all that. I'm like, let's just talk and hit play and we'll just hit, you know, record and we'll just have fun. And I think nobody has ever been really nervous. PJ actually wanted to do the open. I'm like, knock yourself out, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I love that. I thought that was so cool.
Exactly. Yep. And that's what I like. People want to bring something extra to it. They want to do something on their own or whatever. That's it. And it's the response, like I've said before, you guys have been awesome. And it's like, it's not about me. This is about home theater. It's about you guys. It's about everybody coming together. And we have a conversation. And I'm actually toying with the idea of having multiple people on so people can meet people. But that's another idea. But sometimes that can get a little bit like, okay, now who talks? And it's harder because it's hard enough to be like, okay, I'll wait for him to finish. And then I want to say something. And then somebody else says something. And for people to listen to that is harder. But that's something we might be able to do too. So it's all fun. And everybody's forgiving too. Yeah. So if it comes out bad, everybody's like, who cares? It's like, I just love listening to you guys talk. Okay, cool.
Yep. And we like listening to everybody else. I thought, when you did the first one, I just thought it was so cool. I was like, this was a great idea to just talk home theater, right?
Yep. Yeah. It's a phone call. It really is. It's like, if you called me up and we had, and that's what I've found is like some of the listeners that I've talked to, like Joe, quote, my IT guy, he and Nelson, they all come on, or I got on the phone with them and we would have these conversations, right? So why not record them? I haven't met anybody in home theater yet that's just been like, I like home theater. Yeah, what do you like about it? It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's cool. Cool. Speakers, cool. Nobody's quiet about it. Everybody wants to talk.
Yes. Right?
So, and it's, I know, like I said, I was that somebody, I didn't give his name, but I said, I had a listener and I get that it's like, he's like, I'm afraid people just think I'm a nerd. Well, one, yes, you are, but yes, that's cool. Yes, that's cool to us and everybody listening. And it's funny because I know he's listening. I know he knows who he was. that he knows that I didn't call him out. I didn't give his name, but I respect him for not wanting to come on. I get it. I understand it. And he never has to come on. But at the same time, the feedback that I've gotten because I said what he was saying, like, he would be 1,000. I think the quote, the most common quote is, "You're 1,000% supported to come on to the show."
Yep.
Nobody.
Yeah, you can add me to that list. I'd love to hear
all the listeners. That guy on there. That's why we're listening. That's why we're listening. Exactly. It's like, we want to hear more people talk about home theater, and some of it could be repetitive, but that's great because the repetitive stuff is fun too, because that just validates people when it'd be like, I think that too. Whether they've been on the show or not, I'll be like, hey, I'm much like this. And it's like, I think of you, somebody like Reggie, you're an audiophile. You love your two channel. You love listening to music. You love doing this. Two completely different shows, two completely different people, different backgrounds, different, takes on the entire hobby, but we're all in that hobby, and it's been amazing, to be honestly.
Yeah. And I think if a guy came on and he said he had a 150-inch projector screen and a sound bar, I would still love it. And I'd still want to, I'd want to know, like, why do you like that? And he would say, awesome. You know, I would never make fun of somebody for that. That's just how you enjoy the hobby we all love. And I think that's so cool.
Right. Know? And you know, what would be cool is like talking to you about your speakers and upgrading all and changing all these speakers and talking to Reggie about the sound. Talking to you two guys, I imagine would be like talking to somebody with a 150-inch screen and a sound bar. Imagine their eye, right?
Yeah.
Imagine the details that they're seeing. It's like when we go into a room, you and I, and we turn, we close our eyes to hear stuff, right? Like we were talking earlier, this guy's going in the other direction. This, you know, mythical guy, right? He's going in the other direction. He's got a 150-inch screen and a sound bar because he's so fascinated with the image that like he probably shut the sound bar off. I just want to see and be like, I can't fathom that, but there's a mind like that. And there's an eye like that, which that would be amazing to talk to, because he'd be like, because you know what you and I could learn from that? We would be like, now I want to go watch that movie and see what he saw. It would be fun.
Yeah, totally. Right?
It wouldn't it? Yep. So it's like, that's why, like, for anybody that's like, oh, I'm too much of a nerd or I'm afraid. I get it. Believe me. It's like, and I go back to listen to the one where I did with Rich Keefe. I was nervous as hell. And it was my podcast, but you get the butterflies. I get it. But I think, like, maybe you were nervous before, you know, clicking join or whatever, and you have maybe some, but once we get going, like I said, we're just hanging out, having a good time.
That's it.
And it's hard to hang up.
I'm going to get off this. And the wife said, I thought you said like an hour or two. Well, you know, sometimes things just go longer than you think.
Dan last week, he's like, I got to go. He was like, I got to get going at like noon. I think his daughter or something, he had to get someplace. He had an appointment, right? So you heard the podcast end. We talked for another half hour and we just sat there just like this. I'm like, but we just stopped recording. We just kept talking, right? So then when we finally did hang up, we're like, all right, now we're gonna this one's for real, we're gonna hang up. And I was just telling my wife before you and I got on, I was like, that's what it's like. It's like you're a little kid in high school again. And like, no, you hang up. No, you hang up. I've never had the problem where we didn't have enough to talk about. I've always had the problem of, all right, I got to get going. And it's totally. Okay.
I mean,
right.
DJ, I think we could go there's like so much that I thought we'd talk about. We didn't. 5 hours could probably be pretty easy to do like that. You know,
you just keep going. So it's just fun. And that's why I said, it's like, it's open-ended. It's like, and that's why I liken it to like Joe Rogan. I have different people. It's open-ended and we can talk as long as people want. And who knows, maybe someday we do a 5 hour, somebody will be like, we'll just go and go and go. Who knows? But yeah, it's, I hope my goal, I think I said before, my goal was to get 25 of yous, 25 listeners to do it.
Okay.
Because I think if I can get to 20, once I get to 25, now I have a year's worth. And it wouldn't be, you know what I mean? That would be, okay, now I can go back through the 25 and do.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Yep. So 25 gets you 25 weeks, right? So that's half a year, basically. And then if I can, now I can do, finish out the year by going back through the rotation. And I think, and everybody's been like, I can't wait. Like you said, I could go 5 out. We could hang up, record the next one right away. And
yeah.
So I'm getting close to that. If I can get to that, that would be great. I'm hoping I can get past that, obviously.
Okay.
But we'll see, you know, because at some point I do want to start having everybody back. But I, as we get more and more people, I think I'm 4 weeks out now. I have 4 more guests. But then all it takes is, you know, somebody, all right, I'll do it. All right, now I'm another one and another one. So,
so after that four, how many will you have then after the next 4? Do you know?
God, I honestly, 10? I stopped.
Like 10 maybe or more than that?
Let me see. Let me look at my list of people. It's more than 10. It's definitely.
Yeah, I think so too.
I've had, here's my schedule. So I've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I'm up to 14.
Oh, okay.
14 is the one. So yeah, I'm getting there.
Yep.
So it's 14 weeks. It'll be, and I took a week off from it on the 19th. So yeah, so I'm at 14. Yeah, so I only need 10 more to get to basically half a year, and then, you know, we'll see.
But, yeah, yep.
And even
get,
at this,
we gotta get Gary on, DJ. Gotta get Gary on, man. Everybody's gonna be looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that was, you know what's funny is it, having who was it? And was it Andrew? Andrew. Yeah, mm-hmm. From and he works with Tom.
Yep.
And he works with Tom and he hasn't been on AV Rant yet. But you heard AV Rant a couple of weeks ago, like, oh, he's coming on. He'll be on soon. Like, okay. But yeah. Yeah, I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. You guys have been, all the listeners have been awesome. Whether you come on or you just, people have been so supportive of everybody like coming on. So it's great. It's awesome.
And I agree.
Happy to be a part of it. You got anything else?
Well, you know what? I was thinking I wanted to do a first out of your listener thing. And I actually, okay. I was going through my collection the other day and I actually have 2 copies of Predator on 4K and I wanted to give it away somehow.
Oh,
so I know like how you do like the last things. How can we give it away, DJ? I have, look,
oh, this, wow.
I got this guy right here
with this.
I got this guy here.
Nice. So, Predator, like 4K. I love that movie too.
It's got it doesn't have the digital copy in it, but it does have the Blu-ray and the 4K in there. So we got to give this away, man. I can't have 2.
Oh, look at you. Oh man, a listener first. Look at you go. Wow.
Yeah, got to be first with something here.
Johnny Speakers giving away stuff. Look at that. That's fantastic. How can we give it away?
If we don't mind using your Twitter, let's ask the first person that what item in DJ's recent item wouldn't DJ want to give away? Can we do that? Or out of Kaleidoscape and Lumigen, which item would DJ give away first? Let's
word it that way. Okay, so yeah, that's okay. What I found that when I do these, I learned the hard way because I get so excited about giving stuff away. I don't ask the question clear enough. And then when I hang up the podcast and be like, oh crap, I'm going to get a bunch of different answers that might all be right.
Yes. So we'll clear it up. So out of the Lumigen and the Kaleidoscape, if DJ had to give away, get rid of one of the two, which one would he give away?
Which one would he give away? Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. Yep. Excellent.
Okay.
Oh, yep. I know my answer. I hope I win.
and then you tell me who was first, and then if they want to direct message me through Twitter, or if you just want to get their address and send that to me or whatever, I'll send this out. I'll mail it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yep. So to win 4K version of Predator, the first one, right?
Yep.
Arnold's Predator.
Yep. Yep.
What do I want to give away?
Yep. You don't want to, but you would if you had.
What would I give away? Holy crap. Oh, man. You know what's so funny? Oh, man. That's going to be wicked funny because, oh, you know how funny that's going to look on Twitter?
They're going to say, DJ's such a spoiled 1%er, he'd get rid of his.
Yeah, exactly. His exactly. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, yeah. That's a tough one. That's funny. But hey, it's your show and you gave it away. Yeah. So there you go.
So, yeah, and we'll be clear. The answer is Kaleidoscape. So we're like, oh, you didn't ask the question, you know, clearly. The answer is out of Lumigen and Kaleidoscape.
Oh, now you just gave the answer. So the person, yeah. So wow.
Well, yeah. I don't want to turn this into a nightmare for you, DJ, and be like, oh yeah, but I thought he meant the other way.
No. Let's just, yeah. No, that's
we'll be clear
the,
here.
Yeah. Yep. That's so, yeah, you gave the answer. They don't even, not that anybody, if you've listened this far into the show, to get the giveaway.
If you listen to me babble for almost 3 hours, you deserve something.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. Cool. So I'm actually going to put that in the release on Tuesday too. Be like, there's a giveaway in here. Cause that'll get people, know how I've hidden my Easter eggs, but this one's kind of in the show. So it would be,
well, we could keep it an Easter egg if you want to, too. We don't want anybody just going right to the end either. So
no, this is fine. This is perfect. It's yours. You're doing it. That's awesome. Oh, thank you very much.
I'm glad that you let me come on with you. I've really looked forward to this and it's been a lot of fun.
Glad to have you. Glad to have everybody. It has been so much fun that every week I look forward to this. I look forward to my Sunday mornings. I can actually start moving it around now because originally it was supposed to be timely, but now it's not. Okay. So, I'm actually recording two next weekend because of scheduling.
Okay.
I'm doing one on Saturday that'll come out the following week, and then I'll do my Sunday morning, my normal Sunday morning. So, I prefer the Sunday mornings just because it's a nice consistent thing. But if people need something different and they want to come on, I can potentially move that too. I can do a night or something. That's a little harder because I have other things going on, but I know consistently Sunday mornings I have available. So, but yeah, thank you very much, John. Thank you for the giveaway. That's amazing.
You're sitting there holding
on to that this whole time. It's like,
Well, at first I wasn't so sure. I'm like, man, I don't want to take over DJ's show. And
it's Takeover Tuesday, for God's sakes.
It is literally, right?
Yes.
I was going to ask you before, but I was like, I think we're going to record right away. So I wasn't going to ask you and then like totally give that away.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, I'll throw it in at the end either, you know, so here we are.
Absolutely. That's like, I mean, that's the definition of Takeover Tuesday. You take over the show. It's don't anybody coming on in the future, anybody that's been on and come on again. It's like, hey, that's the idea. It's like BJ wanting to do the open, it's your show. And it's like, I'm just here to talk and go back and forth and have a great conversation. But whatever you guys want to do, and you wanted to give something away, and that's fantastic. And it's a great disc, too. I reviewed that movie. I love that movie. Those jungle scenes and the atmospheric fog that you can see in the 4K with the HDR. Oh my God, so good.
Yep, it is so good.
So good. So, all right, we will wrap it up there, John. Thank you, Johnny Speakers, giving stuff away.
Oh man,
thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. Hey, DJ, have a good day.
You too. Now go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.